keeping Grandpa's favorite seat warm for him.
Because the flu can cause serious problems.
Grandma makes the best cookie. But don't tell Mom.
Each year, complications from the flu cause an average of 36,000 deaths.
Papa never misses lunch.
So be sure to get your shot soon.
When Grandpa gets back, we're gonna wrestle.
After all, it's important to a lot of people. Be smart. Be well. Get your flu shot.
Grandpa's home.
Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Help me, brother. Help me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Help me, brother. Help me, sister.
For us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. And that was... I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400. That would be the phone number of Oh my goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. Where do we begin? Let me start with I told you so. Let me start with a little bit of let's go to the barnyard. Let's go to the barnyard this morning. Let's do a little bit of if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, boys and girls in Radio Land, what would it be? It would be a duck. What have I been telling you on this show? I wouldn't trust Senator Joe Lieberman as far as I could throw him. He ain't a Democrat. He's not a Democrat that's going to make any difference, positive difference in your life. Let me just tell you that. Let me just tell you it that way. He's not a Democrat that's going to make any kind of positive, powerful impact in your life. He's a Democrat whose middle name begins with, what's the letter I'm looking for? C. What's the word I'm looking for? Compromise. What's the other word I'm looking for? Capitulate. What's the other word I'm looking for? Coward. What's the other word I'm looking for? I'm going to stick with those three. Capitulate. Compromise and coward. I told you this. Some of you may have been resistant to this, but boys and girls, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it would be not duckish, not duck-light. It would be Donald Duck, is what it would be. Some of you still ain't feeling me. Some of you are just thinking that I'm just hard on the Democrats. Okay. This is, remember, Joe Lieberman is the dude that ran to the Republicans and said, yeah, I understand why you feel the need, the urge, the energy to impeach Bill Clinton. I ain't no Bill Clinton fan. Please don't ever mistake that. I'm just pointing out an example. Joe Lieberman is I wouldn't say hawkish. I would say he put the hawk in the ish. He is a dead-up war hawk. No babies, of course. No money in the pot. He's not playing the game. He's just directing it and saying that you should put your money, your lives in the game. So that's how he plays it. He's a war hawk. Okay. Some of you say, well, whatever. I support the war too. I'm a Democrat. I haven't met many of you, but I know that there are a lot of them that are up in Capitol Hills representing you. Democrats that support the war. Okay. Lieberman. He's a member of the DLC. That's Democratic Lowdown Cowards is what that is, but they call it the Democratic Leadership Council. But it's the Democratic Lowdown Cowards organization, where everything is about trying to find white men that want to come to the Democratic Party. That's their goal. Well, white moneyed men. That's their goal. That's the agenda. That's their plan. That doesn't include a whole lot of people, considering that white males consist of one-third of the population. That's two-thirds of us of a group that does not include. So think on that number for a second. And then when we raise the ante up to wealthy white men, 90% of us do not fit into that group. So, he's a member of the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council. Democratic lowdown cowards. Okay. He's the guy that told Democrats to their face, you need to stand with George W. Bush on this war. How'd that feel? Yeah, that's not enough information for you? That's not enough evidence for you? It's not? Sweetie, it's not? Come on now, you want some more? No, Liz, that's not enough. No, Liz, that's just what you lawyers call circumstantial evidence. That's not enough. That's no smoking gun. All right. I believe I've given you enough for an intellectual conclusion that, oh yeah, when you're counting on yellow dogs, Democrats, all you can get is yellow out of Lieberman. But okay, that's not enough information for you. That's not enough evidence for you. Let me see. I'm reading a newspaper article from Connecticut. It has been the subject of whispered conversations amongst top Republican officials for the last month. Now, a U.S. Representative, Chris Shays, has let slip the secret. Are you ready, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, you ready? You ready for the secret? You ready for the smoking gun? GOP officials have discussed cross-endorsing Democrat Joseph Lieberman this month. Did you hear what I just said? The Republicans are talking about endorsing Joe Lieberman. Now, what happened? What are you to think about someone? When the devil walks up to someone and puts his arm around him and says, this is my friend, what conclusion can you draw about that person? What conclusion can you draw about that person? Huh? Okay, if the worst guy in town walks up to someone and says, puts his arm around him and says, this is my friend, this is my road dog, what'd your mama tell you? What'd your daddy tell you? You sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. It is that and so much more. The Republicans are talking about endorsing Joe Lieberman. And you should be saying, what? What? Isn't he a Democrat? No. The answer is no, he is not. He is not. In an interview with the Advocate of Stamford, Connecticut, Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, Shay says he intends to vote for Lieberman and is encouraging a Republican endorsement of the three-term senator. The remark, of course, was not immediately reported by the Advocate, but it set off a flurry of calls among Republicans who have been gauging support for the idea among GOP candidates. Do you hear what I'm saying? Huh? 454-0400 is the phone number. Now, Joe Lieberman has said, would he accept the endorsement of the Republican Party? No, he is seeking the Democratic Party nomination. Well, shoot. I bet you wouldn't stay in front of God and everybody that the devil's your friend. But if you act in devilish, and if you engage in, if you're endorsing devil's policies, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what did we say at the beginning of the show? If it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, what is it? Can I hear the church choir? Can I hear you say duck? Can I hear you say duck? And don't try to bring me any kind of, oh, this is just a Republican strategy to get a Democrat. Bunk. No, double bunk. Joe Lieberman is liked a lot by the Republican Party. And quite frankly, he's no good to us as a Democrat. They like him. They like him. They likey him a whole lot. 454-0400 is my phone number. Scott on a car phone.
Hey, how's it going today?
I'm outstanding.
Well, how do I respond when you call me a devil?
How do you respond? Well, you respond with an explanation of why you're not.
Let's see. Well, why am I?
I've already given my explanation. You're the one that came to me. Tell me why you're not.
Well, because I love everybody. I'm full of compassion.
So then you're opposed to the war.
What's that?
You're opposed to the war.
I'm not opposed to the war.
But you love everybody.
Yeah.
How do you
war is justified.
All war is bad.
What imminent threat did Slobodan Milosevic pose to the United States?
All war is bad.
All war is bad.
Yes,
love and peace. You're an idiot.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, devil.
Oh, thank you.
You call it my show. I asked you to explain yourself, and you call me names. The fact of the matter is that it is devilish to say, I love everybody, go war, go. I love it. Those two things do not coincide. That the devil would say the very same thing. The devil would give the quote from Little Shop of Horrors.
A lot of folks deserve to die.
I mean, you know, the thing, you can't love everybody and say, I love war. You can't love everybody and say, I support war. You can't love everybody and say, war is a good thing. The best you could say is that what a person who loves would say is that I abhor war. There are other ways of doing things. We don't have to kill other human beings to have our way. And don't tell me about the virtue of this particular war. This country did nothing to us. And yet tens of thousands of Iraqis are dead. What do you do when someone calls you the devil? Well, you can respond by saying, no, I'm not, and hear the reasons why. Or you cannot respond at all. If you're confident in your non-devilment, keep walking. And yet it's you come on and you call me and you say, nuh-uh, you're an idiot. Okie dokie. Next question. I love war. I love everybody. And war is good. Whoo. 454-0400 is my phone number. Glenn.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
I was just wondering, I know you heard about the video conference of George Bush being warned of the Katrina.
You know what? You need to get off my phone because you are stepping on my line.
You are stepping on my line
because I sure was going to talk about that after the break. Tell it. Go ahead. Tell it.
I don't know what to say now. Well, I just wanted to say that I think...
Can I throw something out there, Glenn, for people that don't know about this story? There was a video conference that George Bush and his Homeland Security chief were warned before Katrina struck that the storm could breach the levees, would put lives at risk, that the Superdome would be overwhelmed. This is a confidential video footage. And you want to know the most revealing thing about George W. Bush? Something that you and I probably already know, Glenn? You know what the most striking thing about that video conference is? George Bush didn't ask one single question.
Now, what? You're right. Great observation. You're right.
He didn't ask one single question. The dude that's got his hands on the driver's, on the steering wheel, was told, you know, we're getting ready. The road's getting ready to wash out in front of us. He doesn't say, okay, what do we do? He just sits there and keeps driving.
There was absolutely no urgency at all.
No
on the
question.
His emotions, his behavior, his mannerism, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
He's like, so what? Another firecracker up the orifices of a frog.
Been there, done that. To my point, that I think Kanye West, probably out of anybody that I've heard besides you, on a national level, called him exactly what he is.
Doesn't care.
He hates black people.
No,
he
Kanye.
Like black people.
Kanye
he
didn't
doesn't
say.
Care about black people.
Kanye
and
didn't.
That tape is pure lifetime evidence of that fact, and he will be ever linked to this event and how he responds to black people about his tape. There's nothing this man can do for me. That he could ever say that he's for black people. And every time I watch that tape,
but Glenn,
no, you're not.
Glenn, here's the thing. I think that it would be fair to say, because Kanye didn't say he hates black people. He said he doesn't care.
He doesn't care about black people.
And I think that is in a lot of respects a far more devastating comment, because I don't think that there isn't the empathy. Pathetic gene that is in there. I don't think he feels anybody's pain. I really don't. Because I don't even think that he. Because in that conference, they didn't say it was just happening to people of African descent.
That's true.
You know the fact.
You know what? And that goes to a bigger point, because if you look at his response to the dying soldiers.
Yeah.
It's the same response.
Cindy Sheehan
doesn't really, really care.
Cindy Sheehan looks like his mama.
Exactly.
Got a roll. Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break. This is Liz Brown. My goodness. Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with me. I love people. Kill them.
So take this dream and apply it to your life. The girls run up, but we got to keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
Cause the dead will come. And love to the sun, even with the darkness.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by State Farm Insurance. Northbound 255 at Collinsville Road is an accident with debris on the roadway. Two left lines are blocked this hour. There is a brief slowdown. Page Boulevard at Dealman is closed due to an accident involving a pedestrian on Page at Spencer. Northbound 55 between 141 and Lindbergh, no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way to Big Bend looks good. Westbound 70 from Zumbel to Lindbergh, no problems there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to Big Bend is on the move. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge to West Florissant, expect no problems this morning. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB looks good. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue onto the 5570 split, nothing there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split onto Laclede's Landing is on the move. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. Look for those ramps to be open and clear this hour. Eastbound Collinsville Road at Bernice, there's an accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by State Farm Insurance. Switch to State Farm and your great driving record could help you get great discounts. Talk to Agent Bob Boston in Maryland Heights, Missouri today and get your reward here and now. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Mostly cloudy early this morning, then clearing by this afternoon, high around 50 this evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 20s. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high around 50, and Sunday, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a high around 50 as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 36 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 35. Wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 30, so bundle up if you're going out to the bus stop this morning. That's a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news traffic and weather at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. What's your number, baby? What's your number? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Alenzo.
Yes, ma'am. Top of the morning to you. My number is Sweetie Pie Restaurant.
Did you like that?
Oh, sister. I was going by there. Yesterday, I was in a neighborhood, and, ma'am, I love the atmosphere in there.
Which one? You went to the one on Manchester?
Yeah, right at Tower Grove.
Isn't it lovely?
Oh, it is so beautiful. I had to say to the lady, I said, you look beautiful than you do in the paper, in person.
All right.
Oh, ma'am, I had to sit back. Oh, I had to catch myself. I got to eat.
Did you tell her that you heard about it on the show?
Oh, Liz, I mentioned your name.
All right.
When I got to eat, as a kid, you probably did it when you was a kid. When I got to eating, the food was so good. Ma'am, I almost licked the plate. I loved it. And thank you for being a sponsor, ma'am. It was beautiful. The price was beautiful. Ma'am, I had to step back from the line. It was so beautiful. I didn't know what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 15 minutes to decide this is what I want.
All right now.
But thank you again for being a sponsor, and thank you for being a sponsor to the beautiful kids out there in school, man.
All right now. Thank you so much. And I'm glad. Sweetie Pies, people really need to check out there are two locations, the brand new location there on Manchester. It's the bomb.
Right. And see, I've seen a downtown area, so the one on Manchester looks much closer to me.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you and God bless you.
All right.
Love you in the name of Jesus.
All right now. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
Yeah, this is Linda. Once again, I have become a faithful listener of yours, and you're doing a fantastic job.
Well, thank you.
I want to talk about, I called you yesterday about this, but I held on so long I just disconnected.
Okay.
President Bush in this video conference.
When
you walk with the devil and you talk like the devil, you are a devil.
Yeah.
But I work for our Department of Homeland Security. Don't hold it against me because it's a good job.
I'm not.
Now, the Coast Guards had a meeting, and they say this was an orchestrated blow-up levee to keep the water from going to the French Quarter. So why would he do something about this when the money is coming in there? So there are a lot of things that people don't know behind the scenes that's taking place with this levee thing. And they knew that it was going to be damaged. I knew that before then because of things that took place at meetings we had at work. So, I mean, if I could give that information to you, I would expose them.
Okay, well, it would be lovely.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. In case you didn't know, there is a videotape that has been released, and I really think that people are just really hurting. People are just really hurting about the bad, so many bad things that are happening that didn't have to, don't have to, shouldn't have ever happened. There's real honest-to-God pain about what happened after Katrina. People died. Thousands of people died. Hundreds of thousands of people lost their homes. Hundreds of thousands of people. Babies have died. Babies are not with their families. They don't know where their mama and daddies are. And when you look at this videotape, and the reason this videotape was released is because so many people out there feel this pain. They know that the government lied. They could have saved lives. They could have saved homes, and they didn't. There is a videotape of George W. Bush where federal disaster officials warned George W. Bush, and they warned his Homeland Security chief before Katrina struck, that the storm could breach levees, that the storms would put lives at risk in the Superdome, overwhelmed. Now, remember, George W. Bush, after this videotape, where was he? After he had this videotape conference, what did he do? He went back home on vacation. Do not forget that. He was on vacation when this happened, and he didn't leave after it happened. And George W. Bush, when they came and told him that the levees will be breached, the Superdome will be overwhelmed, this is a disaster fixing to happen, what did the former cheerleader, D student, do? The same thing that former cheerleaders, D students always do. He didn't raise their hand and ask a single question. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
You're absolutely right. And guess what? 3 hours ago, ABC News released a story that there's another videotape that shows Governor Blanco saying the levees were intact. And this just came out. Where are these videos been hiding?
The levees are what?
She said that the levees. It's showing her saying the levees were intact.
Well, you know why that video is being released right now? That's in response to the video about George Bush.
Well, that's what she was being questioned about when the congressional delegation came down there yesterday. She looked like a deer caught in the headlights.
But my point is that was released in order to get the weight off of Bush.
Okay.
Why are we talking to her instead of Homeland Security guy? Has ABC interviewed the Homeland Security guy about this videotape?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're going after Governor Blanco. Isn't that interesting? You start at the top.
Mm-hmm.
You start at the top. I want to talk to George W. Bush about this video. They need to be talking about the people. See, that tape was released because they want the news media to do exactly what the news media is doing. Oh, they're going to run that tape. Did ABC run this tape?
Mm-mm.
Case closed.
They didn't run George Bush because I looked for it online. I couldn't find it.
Case closed.
I found it yesterday, though.
Case closed.
Okay.
All right, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes. First, before I talk about the topic, I would like to say that the caller you had that called in and asked what is, that he said that he was, what, that he was a devil, or who was a devil, or I'm not a devil, and you ask him to explain himself, and just like a little kid, instead of explaining why he wasn't a devil, he started to name call.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? Just
you know, and I'm giving a descriptive explanation,
uh-huh,
and he's saying that my descriptive explanation is not accurate. Okay, tell me why.
Well, give me yours. Yes.
You stupid. You stupid. You stupid. That's it.
And I guess you know they're sleuths. Self-loathing ugs. So, sleuths, if you can't defend yourself, don't call in. And the topic I wanted to talk about is the Iraqi war. Now, have you ever known a country, I suppose to be the mighty power of the United States of America, attack one little small country so many times? And why I say that is that under the so-called Gulf War, they attacked Iraq. The so-called Desert Storm, they attacked Iraq. And now the so-called Iraqi Freedom. We've attacked them three times. Besides that, during the time that we weren't supposed to be attacking them, we had their so-called free zones, free war zones, where we were bombing that and always intimidating them throughout the whole 10 years.
Okay, and I got to roll, but you're absolutely right.
And one other thing,
I got to go. We're taking a break, folks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax.
Love,
get to me.
Makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? But you some cat.
You've been listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety in the 6:45 segment next Friday morning.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else are you going to get washers, dryers, big-screen televisions, small-screen televisions, tractors, DVD players, treadmills, tools? You're going to go to the only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis. That's right, Union and Natural Bridge. Jerome Williams is the owner. Look, you need to get your shop on. Don't go all the way to the mall, because there's a full-service Sears right here where you live at Union and Natural Bridge, 3425 Union, 3425 Union. When you go, when you get over there, tell them Liz Brown told you to.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray from Higher Ground. You can hear me from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I look forward to talking to you folks.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African, Nigerian, and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Albert, 454-0400 is the phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown. Well, Miss Brown, can anybody say weapons of mass destruction? Selling the access to the ports. I mean, really, what do you expect from the tape when you run? And then the tape shows up with Bush saying that we find out he knew before Katrina the situation. And then after the situation, he said he didn't know. I mean, what do you expect? This is the Pat. This is the mode of operation of George W. Bush.
Thanks for your call.
You have a good one.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake up call.
Yes, Liz. He's like Lyndon Johnson, of which John F. Kennedy once said he couldn't tell the truth if he wanted to. But I want to say the incredulous statement Cheney put out yesterday, quote, too many millions of families are living paycheck to paycheck. Well, Mr. Cheney, in the 13 administrations from Hoover to yours, you rank a number 12. Only Hoover ranks worse. There has been no creation of wealth during this administration. And, you know, to the angry Republicans, this war is doing to your party what Vietnam did to the Democratic Party.
Thanks for your
Thank
call.
You.
454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Homeland Security people have blamed the fog of war. Ain't that some stuff? It's the one excuse fits all. We're spying on you because of war. We're taking away your civil liberties because of war. We're cutting Medicaid because we're fighting the war. We didn't do what we were supposed to do in Katrina because of the war. Dang, one size fits all. Homeland Securities have said the fog of war blinded them early to the magnitude of the disaster. But this videotape, these transcripts show that federal and local officials discussed the threats clearly, reviewed long-term plans, and understood that Katrina would be a devastation of historic proportions. It will surely be the top 10 or 15 disasters when it's all said and done. Bush declared 4 days after the storm, and this is the lie that a number of callers have made reference to today. 4 days after the storm, from his vacation home, George Bush says, I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees. But the videotape and the transcripts of the videotape show that there was plenty of talk about the levees breaking before the disaster. So what does that make you? Does that make you a liar? And I'm not talking about any kind of technical definition of a liar. Does that make you a liar? You said 4 days after the storm, I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levee. You're a liar, because the videotape, there are lots of people anticipating the breach of the levee. That makes you a liar, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, Liz, first thing I want to say is I love you and your show. And all I want to say is you didn't know the devil was up there early. He really sounded bad this morning. He was your first call, and he had no explanation for what he was saying. And I just appreciate you bringing people out like that. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. It is really devilish. It is really devilment. It is really, really very, very, very bad.
the things that are occurring. I can't even think of a word that is big enough to embrace all of the awfulness that comes out of Katrina. Katrina, the response to Katrina, the actual act of Katrina, it can't. People have said, theorists have theorized, pundits have pundicized, and Republicans have whispered. Katrina will be the defining, the Katrina response will be the defining moment for this administration. As much as this administration attempts to run from it, 6 months after the fact, it is sticking to them as it should, like glue. How you respond, because let me break it down for you in order for it to stay forever broke down. Let me break it down for you. Katrina, the response to Katrina is about how the government of the United States responds to the needs, the physical needs, the medical needs, the emotional needs of American citizens in the time of an unprecedented crisis in the United States. How do we treat each other? That's what this is about. Does the American, does this administration really care about Americans? Now, you can have any position on the war that you want to. You can have any position on Medicare that you want to. You can have any position on education that you want to. But there were dead American bodies floating in that water. These are American children who don't know where their mommies and daddies are. These were Americans whose faces that you saw, whose faces were plastered on your television. Grown American men, grown American women weeping, begging for help. Somebody help us. We're dying. We're dying. Somebody help us. We're starving. Help us. And our this American red, white, and blue, compassionate conservative administration looked these Americans in the face. And they said, nothing. Worse than that, they lied about them. And then after Katrina, they looked all of us who didn't live in the Gulf Coast region, all of us who don't have any connection, physical, emotional, or physical or biological connection to the Gulf Coast region. They looked us in the face, this administration did, and said, I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees. He lied to our faces. Of course, his administration should be judged and should be judged in the harshest, absolute harshest way. Because push comes to shove, home comes first, right? And what you said about your home, and what you said about your family, and what you said about your citizens is, I don't care. I don't give a horse's patoot.
And in fact, I don't care so much, I'm gonna lie about it. Ooh, history will judge him harshly, and history must. Because when the call came to be a compassionate human being, he failed miserably, and he lied about it. But that's not devilish. And then there's no definition of devilish. To look in the face of pain and say, I don't feel anything, and I ain't going to do anything. I'm Liz Brown. We will be Looking Black will not be taking place in the next hour. It'll be back next week, so it'll be open lines for your calls and comments. I look forward to talking to you. Stay with us.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. President Bush says what's good for India is good for America.
The classic opportunity for our American farmers and entrepreneurs and small businesses to understand there's a 300 million person market of middle-class citizens here in India.
The president, in a speech to executives in Hyderabad, one of the last stops on the Indian leg of this trip.
The president winds up his South Asia trip in Pakistan, which has long regarded U.S.-India ties with suspicion. Mr. Bush makes the point that the U.S. can be friends and strategic allies with both countries, but aides have made it clear there will be no nuclear deal with Pakistan, which has not guarded its nuclear knowledge and materials as closely as India.
The president makes a speech before he leaves and then we'll be heading to Pakistan. That's ABC's Pam Coulter traveling with the president. Iraqi police are imposing a ban on private vehicles today, trying to prevent attacks in Baghdad during midday prayers. At least 9 people were killed when gunmen stormed an electricity substation today. From a new videotape briefing, we're beginning to wonder just who really knew what was going on after Hurricane Katrina. It doesn't appear that the governor of Louisiana did.
We keep getting reports in some places that maybe water is coming over the levees. We've heard a report, unconfirmed. We have not reached the levee at this point in time.
Kathleen Blanco talking to the White House now. Apparently, the National Weather Service had said several hours before that conversation that the levees were, in fact, breached. At least 2 people have been rescued after an avalanche today in Cuneo, Italy. The area where the avalanche took part was in the northwestern part of the country, not far from where the 2006 Winter Olympics recently concluded. The forecast today for eastern Oklahoma is hot and it's dry, and that won't help crews who are trying to battle a huge wildfire. It's burned well over 1,000 acres so far. This is ABC News.
This new Medicare business was pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card, and she filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details, so from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services Number, NASD and SIPC.
3 years in a Vietnamese prison for former British rocker Gary Glitter. He was convicted of molesting 2 girls ages 10 and 11. A happy couple is a healthy one. ABC's Donna Renee has proof.
You really can harden your heart when you fight with your spouse. Researchers at the University of Utah say in a study of 150 older married couples, those who were hostile to one another showed elevated levels of coronary artery calcification. Dr. Tim Smith is one of the study's authors.
Everybody has disagreements, but how we have those disagreements may be relevant to our health in an important way.
Smith says good relationships are just as important to your heart as not smoking, eating right, and exercising. Donna Renee, ABC News.
Well, we're on the subject of health. We know that omega-3 acids are good for it. The kind you get in certain kinds of fish can also lift your mood. We are told by a recent study, the less you eat, the more likely you are to be depressed or impulsive. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a man from Mexico is under arrest on charges of murdering a local Navy officer. 23-year-old Christy Ayala of Lake St. Louis, who was on active duty in Gulfport, Mississippi, was found dead last month in Biloxi's Back Bay. According to the Biloxi Sun-Herald, 20-year-old Miguel Bartolo has been arrested on a murder charge in Ayala's death. The suspect is awaiting extradition to Mississippi. The Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests is urging the Marianist Religious Order and officials at St. John Vianney High School to reach out to possible victims of abuse by the school's president. SNAP delivered a letter to the Catholic officials yesterday to request that they encourage anyone with information about Father Robert Osborne to come forward. One of Osborne's accusers filed a civil suit last month, and Kirkwood police are investigating other allegations. Osborne is on leave from B&E and maintains his innocence. Local advocates are teaming up with the Emergency Campaign for America's Priorities to speak out against President Bush's 2007 budget proposal. The local and national groups are launching a campaign to defeat the budget, which includes what they call draconian cuts to programs like education, Medicare, and farm subsidies. The groups want Congress to increase revenues instead of cutting programs in response to the deficit. They are also speaking out against making the Bush tax cuts permanent, saying that would result in another nearly $3 trillion added to the federal deficit by 2016. Finally this hour, the Academy Award-nominated film Brokeback Mountain is continuing to receive critical acclaim and controversy. Rebecca Copeland, a professor of Japanese studies at Washington University, says the film would not be so controversial in Japan because the Japanese have seen gay romance in their books and movies for more than 20 years.
In the Japanese culture, I think the concept of homosexual romance is not at all unusual. What is still not easily accepted are people who live openly gay lives.
Brokeback Mountain is nominated for multiple awards at this weekend's Academy Awards, including Best Picture and Best Actor for star Heath Ledger. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of proceeds supports health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 255 near Collinsville Road over on the east side, there's an accident with roadway debris. Two left lanes are blocked. There's a brief slowdown at this hour. Eastbound Page at Dielman is closed due to an accident involving a pedestrian on Page at Spencer. So you need to find another alternate to get around on Page. Eastbound 44 to Chrysler Plant, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Two spun-out vehicles. Traffic is backed up to 141 at this hour. Eastbound 44 at Chrysler Plant all the way to Big Bend, however, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor to Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Westbound 70 from Sunbelt all the way into Lindbergh looks good. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 from the Canal Bridge to West Florissant, look for everything to be on the move. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to 79, look for heavy volume. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh and McKnight, expect delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 from 25th onto the 5570 split looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank on the Laclede's Landing, expect delays already this hour in your 7 o'clock commute. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, those ramps are slow. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase four tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive three complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, mostly cloudy early in the morning, then clearing by the afternoon, high around 50. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 20s. Saturday, partly cloudy, a high again around 50. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a low in the upper 30s. And on Sunday, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a high around 50 again. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 36 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 35. The wind chill outside, however, makes it feel like it's 30, so bundle up if you're heading out to the bus stop this morning. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather and the news. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is the phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget that I am archived every single day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So you need to get up. You need to get to me. You need to handle your business. I gotta do a shout out though. I gotta do a shout out. That's one of the perks of my show that I get to every once in a while. Do a little bit of self-indulgent stuff. That's right, self-indulgent stuff. I love the babies. I just got to tell you, I love the babies, and I am so proud of the boys from. Boys from Metro High School. Oh, I just love them. They are in the finals. They are in the finals. How cool is that? The finals of district. Never happened before. They're in the finals. It's Metro versus Viberium. And we're rooting for Metro. The game is tonight. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be so exciting. And I just want to give a shout out. Brand new coach at Metro, Coach Patrick Brown. You rock. You rock. Got the boys the district finals first time. A lot of firsts happened this year. First time Metro ever beat a city school happened this year. First time they ever won a game in district happened this year. And they go into the finals tonight. How cool is that? So if y'all want to show some support, you need to come on out to South Technical High School tonight. And the game is going to be at the finals. It's going to be at 7 o'clock. No, 8 o'clock tonight. 8 o'clock tonight at South Technical High School. That's out in Sunset Hills. I just got to give a shout out to the babies. Shout out to the babies of Metro, the boys of Metro. Ryan Brown, Jeremy Wrighton, Travion Ember. Sharon Woods, Andrew Dejan, Daryl Wells, Marcus Howard, Anthony Arnold, Aaron Jones, Joshua Johnson, Jordan Loveless. Congratulations, guys. You guys rock. You guys rock. Good luck tonight. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And an opportunity for you this Sunday. This Sunday at the Muhammad Mosque, 1408 North Kings Highway, you're going to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live via webcast. This is Savior's Day Part 2, the controversy surrounding the State of the Black Union with Tavis Smiley. You saw it on C-SPAN last Saturday. You need to come. You need to listen. You need to. This is, if you missed that, you need to see it. You need to come out to the Muhammad Mosque number 28. That's at 1408 North Kings Highway, lower level, rear entrance, 367-9667. For more information, it's free. It's free. It's free. So come on out to the Muhammad Mosque number 28 because they are presenting the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live via webcast. Savior's Day Part 2. You need to hear what he said at the State of the Black Union. And that's Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Sunday, 9:30 a.m. at 1408 North Kings Highway. For more information, 367-9667. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We are living in astounding times. There is a tape. There is a videotape. In dramatic and sometimes apologized, agonizing terms, federal disaster officials warned George W. Bush and his Homeland Security chief before Hurricane Katrina struck that the storm would breach levees, would put lives at risk at the Superdome and overwhelm rescuers. They knew. Bush was told this when he was on vacation. And what did he do? He came to you and said that nobody knew. He said this 4 days after the storm. No, I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levee. Well, you were at the meeting. Weren't you paying attention? True fact, he didn't ask a single question. Maybe he was thinking about, I don't know, Rugrats or getting home to watch ESPN. After all, he's on vacation, and we all know when we're on vacation, we check out, and maybe he was just in vacation mode. Well, hundreds of thousands of people lost their lives, lost their homes, thousands of people lost their lives. It wasn't a good time to check out. It wasn't a good time to check out. Greg.
Yes, I'd like to say that not only was George Bush involved with that, also the governor of Louisiana was helping him to carry out that policy. She did receive several emails saying that they were moving the blacks out of New Orleans and into Texas. She did receive an email saying that they were holding the buses back and they wanted her to put on some blue jeans and come down and take a picture for a photo opportunity. This was also printed. Now, we have to understand, and I just wanted to say, if we want to make a change, and especially what's going on in our neighborhoods, it's very important that us as black people, that we get out and vote, because that's the only power, and that's the only way that we're going to get control of what's going on.
It's not the only way. It's not the only way.
Well, it's one of the ways.
It certainly is one of the ways that people do need to engage in the voting process, because the fact of the matter is that if all you do is go to the booths on election day and vote, then
yes,
there's a reason why your life, the communities and the issues are the way that they are, because political activism doesn't stop. It doesn't start in the voting booth, and it doesn't stop in the voting booth.
That's correct.
All right.
And I'd like to say one more thing. Hello?
Yes.
I like to challenge, just so that everybody knows, I like to challenge everybody to look up what conservative means, and that will tell you why things went on the way that they went on with Katrina. I like for somebody to call in and say exactly what conservatism is.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Steve on a car phone.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Steve. I just have a brief observation about the aftermath of this. When George Bush said nobody anticipated it. You know, it harkens back to Condoleezza Rice saying nobody anticipated flying airplanes in the building. The thing is, these people say this with such sincerity and honesty, just like they're kind of into something. You know, they're lying through their teeth the whole time, but they can say it with such sincerity that people fall to their, you know. That's my observation on it all. It's just, you know, sincerity of it all. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Pretty good?
What's your question or comment?
Okay. First of all, I want to tell you that I love you and I respect you. And the reason I'm telling you that first is because when you talk to people and try to give your opinion, and I speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, I called you the other day, and I didn't disrespect you or anything. I gave you my opinion about the ports. And then you call or refer to me as a fool, which I think that was disrespectful. And then I was trying to explain to you so you could understand where I was coming from. That don't mean that I'm for President Bush or whoever. It doesn't make any difference. When I speak for myself. Now, I was on the phone, and you went on, you started rambling, and I tried to talk, but I knew I was off the air. And then I thought you was going to come back to me so I can explain something to you. But you cut me off, and I've been cut off before like that because, you know, with other hosts, and you don't like to talk about other hosts, and I don't either. But I'll just give you an example. It's a police guy on your station.
Oh, come on. We're not talking about other hosts.
Okay, then. Okay. I was just trying to give you an example that I don't just disagree with you.
Oh, and
here's
part of the response, and I don't think it's very interesting radio to go back and try to rehash what a caller did 15 days ago or whatever. That's not interesting radio.
No,
for
it
people.
Wasn't.
Well, wait a minute. Let me finish, okay? You've talked.
The only time I can get in is
again, okay? I let you talk, and now I'm going to talk. I don't think it's interesting radio to go back and to rehash wounds that people feel that they received when they were on the air with me. That's not interesting radio. It's not interesting radio for someone to call up and say, I love you, but that's not interesting radio. We're here to talk about specific things that are going on out here. We're here to talk about the condition of the world that we live in. We're here to bring interesting guests for people to talk about and to talk to and to learn from. Now, the fact of the matter is the comment that I made was that I said it is foolish. You would be called foolish if you allowed someone to guard your home that you didn't know, that you didn't have any control of. I said, what would your neighbors call you? I didn't say they call you a fool. I said they call you foolish. And if that hurts your feelings, so be it. It is a foolish thing for someone to allow
another group of people that they don't know or they possibly know bad things about to control the access to their homes. It is a foolish thing for our government to allow a state-owned company to control our borders. That is foolish. And if you're feeling foolish, so be it. If you're not feeling foolish, so be that. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. I told you at the beginning of this week that George W. Bush is on the road again because he... You don't have anything good to talk about here in the United States. Everywhere he looks is bad news. Somebody trying to talk about these ports. Somebody, now this whole immigration issue is raising his head. The immigration issue that's going to split the Republican Party down the middle. The haves against the wanna-haves. Okay, we're talking about chambers of commerce and big business wanting guest worker status, and the other half of the party saying our borders are sealed. Our borders are sealed. Should be sealed. We should build a big wall on our borders. It is going to split the Republican Party in half. So I understand why George W. Bush doesn't want to come home. There's nothing. No, heck no. Again, if he could get a ticket to Outer Mongolia, he would do that. But he's not doing so. He's going to India instead. It doesn't look too good for him there either. Don't tell George. But tens of thousands of Indians waving black and white flags, chanting. And this is... I don't think people like you when they chant death to Bush. They don't like you. They tens of the. Can you imagine? I mean, one. It's one thing. I think a lot of people imagine what would it be like to be in a place like the Superdome with hundreds of thousands of people cheering your name and standing up and screaming your name, and how interesting, how exciting something like that would be if you were playing in a band. How what a rush is the word that they use. What a rush that would be. Conversely. What must it feel like when tens of thousands of people gather and say death to you? Oh, ouch, that can't feel good. Tens of thousands of them. Sandra Singh, a senior police officer in charge of the crowd, said as many as 100,000 people gathered in a fairground in central New Delhi and said... they did not like Bush or his policies. Protesters carried signs that said, "Bully Bush, go home." Whew. And you know what? Americans are not immune from the fallout of this rage against George W. Bush. They were also holding signs up that said, "Death to Americans." They said death to America, death to Bush. That's not good. That's the consequence of not having good, healthy relationships with other folks. That's not good. That's not good. On Tuesday, 1,000 people demonstrated in Bombay waving placards reading "Devil Bush Go Back" with caricatures of Bush as a cross between... interesting. They showed caricatures of Bush as a cross between Superman and Satan. Interesting. Somebody sat down and said, what do we want? What's the combo we're shooting for here? Superman! Satan! Okay, they put them together and they dressed him in superheroes' red, white, red and blue costume with devil horns and clutching a missile. Ouch. Ouch.
some mosque in southern, in one particular Indian city where Bush will visit today, have unfurled, this is in front of a church, y'all, unfurled banners protesting his arrival, and they plan to chant verses from the Quran, hoping that it will drive him away. Ouch. Muslim groups have called for a day-long strike to protest Bush's visit. 50,000 people are going to be participating in a march. They often say, I've heard the phrase, no rest for the weary. Have y'all heard that before? I know you have. I know you have. I know you have. I know some adult has said that to you as a child when you were complaining about cleaning your room. No rest for the weary, baby. You got to get in there and get your room clean. I would add the phrase, no rest for the wicked. No rest for the wicked. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. I'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. I could last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been
good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Northbound 55 between 141 and Lindbergh, look for no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler to Big Bend looks good. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way in Mason Road, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 70 at Cave Springs and 94, look for no problems there. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at New Florissant Road and 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane as you approach those exits. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to 79, look for heavy volume. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh to McKnight, expect delays. Westbound 55 from 3rd Street on the PSB. Look for heavy volume already in your 7:30 commute. Westbound 64 from 25th all the way into 5570. Look for no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing. Expect delays. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street on the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the industry leader in financial and accounting temporary staffing. Call or visit them today at accounttemps.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, mostly cloudy early this morning, then clearing by the afternoon, high around 50 this evening. Mostly clear with a low in the upper 20s. Moving on to Saturday, partly cloudy with a high around 50. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a low in the upper 30s. Then on Sunday, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a high around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 36 degrees under clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 35. The wind chill still makes it feel like it's 30 outside, so if you're going outside, bundle up as you head to the bus stop. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You've been listening to the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm.
IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. This is the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you. And if you have a problem with personal work or family relationships, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. Then go do the right thing.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29, 2006. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been. Make me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget. Looking back,
this is Liz Brown. My goodness, 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Prince Carter, good morning.
Great morning. You know, I hope there's no truth to the rumor I heard about them trying to change the law where Bush can run again. I hope that's real wrong. Liz,
well, you couldn't pick a worse time to try to sell that to the American people.
Hey,
yeah, I mean, if that's the case,
I hope that was a false rumor.
You know what? I hope it isn't. I hope it is true. I hope they bring that out because all that will do is rally people. So I say bring it out.
Liz, yesterday I was so pleased with the folks from Wellston School District.
Wasn't that wonderful?
And
wasn't that wonderful?
It just goes to show. I think they are leading by example.
Mm-hmm.
And we as people of African descent must understand nobody gonna save us but us. And it is crucial that we have children looking at folks over their educational structure that look like them, that can relate to them, that understands them, and that knows how to deal with them. And I just think it is beautiful, and I hope other school districts and other teachers take heed to what they're doing, because those children want to learn. They want to be a part of an educational structure, but they need something designed for them, something that is catered to them, something that is fitting for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the whole problem. You have to have people that care and want to be involved and want to understand these children.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's this beautiful line that I saw in that I heard in a movie, made for television movie, Dancing in September, where this young man was asking this his man who had just adopted him at 16, the husband of a judge, and the father was saying to his newly adopted or the newly adopted son was saying to his new father, you know, well, why do you care? And the newly adopted father, the father said, because I see me in you. And the problem is that America for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years has been taught not to see themselves in anybody other than people that look like them from a skin color perspective. And when you don't see yourself in another person, you don't see a future for that person, and it doesn't matter what you do to that child. And that's the problem with the public school system, and that's the glory of what is happening in the Wellston School District. They see themselves in
it. Liz, those people sitting on that board, they don't go to those schools. They don't sit down and try to understand what's going on, what needs to be improved. What, you know, you have to, you can't just sit behind a desk and go to a meeting. You have to get in the middle of it and understand it.
But I think that that's giving them too much credit, that anybody is sitting at a desk working on the school district at all. There is no effort at any time of it. I mean, it would be one thing if you just sat behind your desk and you were really working. I would even take that you were sitting at your desk and working hard to make the school district better and you'd never been to a school. I would take that.
And
but that's not what's going
on. Children to build a building.
All right.
They need to go and house themselves inside those schools where those children's at so they can see the problems and know what needs to be fixed.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Dimitri, I know that this is a conversation that happened on another show when you called about the gun control people, and I want to thank you for the comment that you made. I truly do. I want to thank you for that.
I don't want to talk about past shows because it doesn't make good radio. Oh, dear, I finally got one in. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Anyway, I picked up a flyer at school at Forest Park College about Reggie Clemens on death row.
Uh-huh.
I noticed other people were picking it up, and I'm going to make copies of it and pass it around. But the reason I'm calling is seeing it in writing and seeing how the police evidence was handled in the case, mishandled. I want to ask you this question. I know what happened to Ellen Riesenhofer and how Buzz Westfall's career skyrocketed after he nearly got the death penalty against this innocent victim of a holdup in the store or something. Anyway, I want to know the name of the prosecutor in this Reggie Clemens trial.
Nels Moss.
No, and I want to follow his career because it seems to me that there's a kind of pattern here.
Well, not always, because Nels Moss's his career went down after that. He didn't get elected. His star faded in the prosecuting attorney's office, and he's out there mucking about in private practice. So his attempt is a familiar one, but it didn't result in success for him.
Oh well, I guess the odor from the mistrial in the way this case was handled, even the people who would want to vote for him couldn't hold their nose long enough to vote for him.
Well, there you go.
Okay, Liz.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sometimes the good guys win.
Yeah,
okay.
You can say that again.
Okay, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. This is Jesse Todd. How you doing?
We're going to try to make a better connection. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And don't forget that you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. You normally would be hearing Looking Black at this time. Looking Black will be back at the same time and place next week. My number here is 454-0400. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I don't know. How does it feel to be living at this time and this place? How does it feel to be living at this time and in this place? There is a story that comes out of the Chicago Tribune.
there is a story that comes out of Chicago. And, I think it's a very important story. And it's a story that that involves not only your good government, but also how your good government is using your money. And I'm wondering how y'all feel about this. I know how I feel. A conservative political group closely tied with the Bush administration has gone Hollywood. You know, all those people that are talking bad about Hollywood. You know, all those fake people. Hollywood is bad. Hollywood, just like taking money from the government is bad. Well, Halliburton is stealing us blind. Hollywood is bad. Let's get Hollywood to change the American people. They're getting ready to let loose upon you a media campaign change your eating habits, not to encourage your children not to eat these foods that aren't any good for them. Not a media campaign to help people not engage in racist behavior, not to engage in intolerant behavior, not to engage in bad classist behavior or sexist behavior. No. The Hollywood that the George Bush administration and their friends are getting ready to unleash on the American people is the Hollywood in the commercial that tells you that yes, you do support the Iraq war. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. These are television ads that have been unleashed to get you to support the war in Iraq. How you like them now? I guess they figure if commercials can make people think spam is hamburger, well, we got a chance. We got a chance. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when I get back, but I got to take a break right now. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Friday in the 7:45 time slot right here on AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves. We're talking about treadmills. We're talking about all kinds of wonderful things. You need to get on over to Sears at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union, Jerome Williams. I'm Liz Brown. And when you get your shop on this weekend, don't go to the mall. Don't take out a bank loan to fill up your tank. Get on over to Sears at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams. Tell them I told you to.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pie's, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pie's, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. I want to share with you how your good government is trying to play you for a fool. They're running commercials. And I just want you to know, this is a group. The group that's running these commercials is a group that spent more than $35 million in support of George W. Bush during... Oh boy, George, during the 2004 campaign. One of the group's commercials that was described by Advertising Age as the most influential in that campaign is one that aired nearly 30,000 times in 9 swing states. Now these commercials that they're running right now to get you to love the war, I sure would like to have sat down in that pitch meeting. How do we get people to love war? How do we get people who hate destruction, love life, to embrace this war? How do they do it? Well, they feature testimonials from members of families united in support of our troops and their mission. The ads feature the words of veterans and family members. Their messages match familiar White House talking points on the war. What's one of those talking points? We need to be in Iraq in order to fight the terrorists. We didn't go to Iraq because of the terrorists. We went to Iraq because you said that they had weapons of mass destruction. And they also repeat the talking point that the war is going well. One of the ads includes the complaint that the media coverage of the war has been misleading. One line from one of the commercials is, you'd never know it from news report, but our enemy in Iraq is Al-Qaeda and the same terrorists who killed 3,000 Americans on 9/11. Why are we in Iraq? If our enemy is Al-Qaeda, why are we in Iraq? These people are so, they have been living the lie so long that they ain't shamed about saying it in the face of all of the truth that's out here. These people have no shame. No shame. The ABC affiliate in Minneapolis, St. Paul, where they tried to run the commercials, they declined to run the commercial because of its charge that the media is misleading the public. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. You need to get to me. Sheila, car phone.
Yes, why should we believe what's come out of Hollywood anyway? Because all of that is fake. Nothing there is real anyway.
The fact of the matter is that the people that are bringing you Hollywood commercials are the people that attack Hollywood every single day, which is just so amusing. It is just so amusing, but deadly, because they're the same people that will tell you, government, you shouldn't be taking any money from government. Government's not here to fix your life. And Halliburton is making $1 trillion from the government every year.
Well, they're all hypocrites, and they talk just like the Indian has always said. They speak with a forked tongue.
Thanks for your call, Sheila.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding, Max.
Speaking on terrorists, I happen to be flipping in bushes over there speaking on combat terrorists. That's this conversation over there. We're going to fight terrorists. And I was out to the Club Towers yesterday. That's where I go. And where those two young teenagers went up the side of the building. If you can't stop that, how do people feel safe that bushes come back and terrorists. You go out there. Those two teenagers went up that building. The only thing they didn't want to do was blow it up. They had all the opportunity. If they had been a suicide bomber, they could have blew that building up, and there nothing, nobody could have saved them. And people feel safe. I went in there yesterday. I mean, that building 20-some stories high. If two teenagers can do it, what do they think that if someone wanted to come? The only reason we haven't had an attack on this country lately is because they haven't wanted to do it. That's the only thing that have kept you safe. Not Bush. Because they can't even protect the club tower out there.
Well, they can't protect the levees.
Nothing. Thanks. They can't protect nothing.
Thanks for your call,
Thank
Matt.
You.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. San.
Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
I heard last week watching the news on, I think it was Channel 2, that KFC is launching a campaign where they're going to have some, I guess, put in a little message spot in their advertisements. And they set it up like a game where you could win prizes and so forth, but they're going to insert some little undercover message in their commercials. And I'm a big sci-fi channel watcher. And I was telling my husband...
Do you watch Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, Battlestar, Stargate.
I don't watch Stargate, but I love me some Battlestar.
But have you noticed, Liz, when they're showing those programs, that they'll finish a commercial... And then at the end of that commercial, they'll pop something in there that has nothing to do with the previous commercial.
I don't understand.
It's like a second.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, watch it this Friday.
All right.
There's a commercial. Say if they show a Netscape commercial.
Uh-huh.
At the end of that commercial, you'll see something flash that says Affleck, blip, and then they'll go right to the show.
Okay, I'll watch for that.
Yeah, watch it. It's really disturbing.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Valerie.
Hi. Good morning, Liz. Yesterday on your program, you were talking with Liz, Irene Smith, and I didn't hear the entire interview, but you mentioned something about police being able to take cars. Can you elaborate on that a little bit further?
There's a new regulation. I don't know if it has been signed by SLA yet or not. That was came out of the piece of legislation that came out of the Board of Aldermen that empowers cops to take your car if you're playing your music too loud.
Okay.
And everybody that owns a car should be losing their mind about that.
I agree.
Calling Francis Lay and saying don't sign off on that because nobody should have that kind of authority.
I agree.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
D!
That young lady two calls back was referring to what they call subliminal persuasion.
That's correct. Subliminal messages, yes, sir.
And I'm telling you, don't underestimate the Hollywood hypnotique because the seductive hypnotic repetition works better than people know.
Yes, it does.
And they've been doing it to us for years.
And they have perfected it.
They have perfected it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Robin.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was kind of about the same thing that man just spoke about, the subliminal message.
Mm-hmm.
But since he got that out, I just wanted to let you know I had called you a couple of weeks back and to let you know that Washon High School, Clive Coleman, had informed the staff, the principal, Mr. Starks and Dr. Hutchings, to move out all the chairs in the waiting area for the parents.
Mm-hmm.
They put them back. I said, yeah, I don't mean giving that phone for real. So they put the chairs back.
All right, now.
All right.
Dear. All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. Michael.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Yes. I know that Harold Alfonte had a birthday recently.
Yes, he had a birthday day before yesterday.
Yes. I was wondering, is there any way possible that you can get him on the program?
Already on it. Already on it. It's going to be happening real soon.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Oh, my. We're coming to the end of the show. That's all right. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air filled with brothers. Help me, sister.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families and
issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
Distinguished guests, namaste.
The traditional Hindi greeting of peace from President Bush and a speech this morning in India where he praised the two nations for forging a strong friendship.
The United States and India, separated by half the globe, are closer than ever before. And the partnership between our free nations has the power to transform the world.
It's also the president's last event in India. He leaves for Pakistan today, a nation described as an ally and a battleground in the war on terror.
Pervez Musharraf, the president of Pakistan, has done his best to be one of America's closest allies in the war on terror. But that position in and of itself is incredibly controversial here in Pakistan. Many people here share sympathy with Osama bin Laden. And those people find Pervez Musharraf's close ties with Bush incredibly offensive.
ABC's David Wright in Karachi. Did anyone know what was going on right after Hurricane Katrina? ABC's Luis Schiavone has more on yet another videotaped briefing which shows rampant confusion after the storm.
Pervez Musharraf.
Federal and state officials appeared to have no idea of the chaos that Hurricane Katrina was spawning as it lashed the Gulf Coast on August 29th. Hours into the killer storm, a newly reported government video conference reveals then-FEMA Director Michael Brown congratulating Louisiana Governor Blanco.
There's some great work going on down here in Louisiana.
Several hours after the New Orleans levees had been breached, the videotape shows that Governor Blanco had no idea that Lake Pontchartrain was starting to pour into the city. Luis Schiavone, ABC News, Washington.
A ban on private vehicles is in effect today in Baghdad. Police in that city are trying to prevent any more attacks in the chaotic Iraqi capital. At least 19 people have been killed in the suburbs since last night. This is ABC News.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready for a real home-based business that can get you out of the rat race and into financial freedom? Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I bought my first property at 17 without a penny to my name, and since then I've made millions in real estate. I have engineered a proven system to real estate buying that will show you how to buy money-generating properties so you'll never have to work again. Let me show you how you can get started right now. With my techniques, you can learn the secrets for spotting deals that come along on average once a week, and pick up plenty of homes that generate lots of cash and become rich, very rich. Call 1-800-500-3022 anytime, 24 hours a day, and I'll send you a free tape that explains how easy it is. Instead of just making a living, let me show you how to make real money. Call 1-800-500-3022 and get your life back. Again, that's 1-800-500-3022.
Should a New Jersey school district allow a transgendered woman to teach? Lily Macbeth has been an elementary sub for years since she was William Macbeth.
I can understand the parents' fear, and they're trying to project that fear onto the children, because the children don't have that fear.
Some parents say she has no place in the classroom. 2 days to go until the Oscars. Who will get the big prize?
Live from the Kodak Theater, Hollywood and Highland.
Good. This will be the 78th Annual Academy Awards. Joel Siegel of ABC's Good Morning America. Will Best Picture be a slam dunk for Brokeback Mountain?
I think it's going to be a slam dunk. I think it's going to be Brokeback Mountain and Ang Lee.
People Magazine's Leah Rosen.
You know, I think Brokeback is the front runner, but I have the sneaky feeling that Crash could come in there as Best Picture.
Peter Travers of Rolling Stone Magazine.
I'm going to say Brokeback Mountain is going to win, despite all this Crash talk, because it's the kind of time capsule movie that the Academy likes.
Bill Deal, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Panther Ferenc Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, four suspects are in custody and could be charged as soon as today in a vandalism spree in Collinsville. Police say the suspects, between the ages of 15 and 20, spray-painted graffiti on 10 businesses and one garage in downtown Collinsville. The suspects are expected to face felony property damage charges. Late next month, Forest Park Hospital will stop delivering babies. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that about 100 employees will be laid off when the service closes on April 27th. The hospital reportedly cites a decline in volume for the decision to stop delivering babies. Finally, this hour, statistics show that high school dropouts are costing the state of Missouri $5 billion. Bob Wise, the president of the Alliance for Excellent Education, says that can be changed if a number of things are done, including putting more efforts into reading on the high school level.
Second is we need to make sure that every student has a personal graduation plan so that we can identify and work with their strengths and their weaknesses. We need to strengthen things, for instance, such as preparing and retaining our teachers. We need to have more personalized learning centers and a tougher curriculum.
Wise says dropouts cost the state so much money because when those students get jobs, they earn less money than high school graduates. That represents a loss in wages and taxes for the state. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash. 100% of proceeds supports health care services and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Ultimate Fighting Championship 58. In both directions at 370 and Elm and 94, look for bridge maintenance operations having the left lane closed due to road maintenance operations. Northbound 55 from Carondelet to 44 looks good. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way to Mason, look for a very heavy volume going on. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way into the Blanchett Bridge looks good. Northbound 270 is stop and go on either side of 44. Westbound 270 from New Florissant to 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 70 at Bryan and 79, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic. Southbound 55 from Holly Hills to Carondelet, look for road construction. Two lanes are closed this hour. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, look for delays going on there as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, it is slow. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way on to Cleves Landing, look for no problems to report. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, it is slow. And there's an accident on Route D, a half mile west of 94, blocking the eastbound lanes. Southbound Mid Rivers Mall between Sioux Mandy and Mexico, there's a report of an accident. Right lane is blocked. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Ultimate Fighting Championship 58. Order UFC 58, USA versus Canada, live this Saturday night. Rich Franklin defends his title. You can call your pay-per-view provider or use your digital remote Saturday to order Ultimate Fighting Championship. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning. Clearing by the afternoon with a high around 50. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 20s. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high around 50. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of rain showers. The low should be in the upper 30s. And on Sunday, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a high around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 33 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 35, and the wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 29. Bundle up if you're headed outside. It's still a little bit cold out there. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brother, talk to me.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. I am living my life as an African Nigerian, recently discovered Nigerian, and loving it. 454-YORBA. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about this morning. We have been spending some time talking about the heartbreak of Katrina, the awful pain and suffering. And there, I love the thesaurus, and I try to familiarize myself with as many words as I can. But I can't think of the words that are big enough to encompass, to hold, to accurately describe how awful what has happened as a result of Katrina is. The pain, the suffering, the death, the loss, the separation, the irreversible of it. And you add on top of that heartache, that heartbreak, that pain, that suffering, a disconnect, intentional and otherwise, of a government and their response to the pain and to the suffering. Whether it was prior to Katrina hitting the shores of the Gulf Coast,
whether it was during the time that Katrina was raging across New Orleans, whether it was a day after, a week after, a month after, now 6 months after, that pain is still there. Hurricane Katrina, for all intensive purposes, is still, has yet to return to the sea. And one of the things that the devastation of Hurricane Katrina has revealed is for some, sadly, for far too many sums, that the issue that there is an inequality that exists in this country, that in this country of plenty, as they say, everybody wants to come to our shores, right? That's why we have to build a wall, right? In this country of plenty, there are people that have that suffer, that go hungry. And when I say go hungry, I say needlessly go hungry, because I refuse to buy into the decades, generations of attitude about poor people are somehow just lazy people. I don't. That's a lie. Call it what it is. That's a lie. Our children are suffering, and we need to talk about the specifics of it now, particularly because we are in the midst of an election year and an election cycle, and an important election cycle, an election cycle that involves the folks that will be making decisions, that continue to make decisions about how we're able to live, how we're able to eat, who was able to eat, who was not. Those decisions are being made by our good government. And if this election cycle is an opportunity for people to get involved, because these folks will be making more decisions. We need to talk about hunger in the United States, and so that it is real for you, so that you know what you're going to be doing this election cycle, the next election cycle, before the election cycle, after the election cycle. There is hunger in this country, and we need to talk about it, and we need to talk about what needs to be done, and we need to talk about what is being done. To facilitate that conversation, I have with me the director of Alliance to End Hunger, joining us from Washington, D.C., Max Finberg. Max, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, thank you.
Very good. Max, there are people out there that would take exception to the fact that there are a whole lot of hungry people in the United States of America. It's just not that's not true. That's not accurate. What is your response to that? Is there a serious hunger problem in the United States?
For the richest country in the world, there is a serious hunger problem. And it's not what we see on late-night television or think about when we think famine or starvation over in where your ancestors came from in West Africa. But it's hunger. It's a mom not being able to put a meal on the table for two kids. Or it's a working family struggling to make ends meet. So hunger looks a little differently here in our country, but it is very real.
And when we talk about hunger and that it is a real situation, who are we talking about? Where is this happening?
It unfortunately happens all over our country. There was just a report that came out 2 weeks ago by America's Second Harvest, the network of most of the food banks around the country, and they looked at that very question, where is it? And it's in our cities, it's in our suburbs, it's in our rural areas in ways that we don't see. As you were talking about earlier, Hurricane Katrina ripped that curtain off. It didn't allow us to believe the myth that we didn't have hunger and poverty in our country. But it's not just New Orleans. We saw it in the rural areas of Mississippi or the Delta. It's in Appalachia. It's in the suburbs, and people don't believe that.
And I read an article years ago about the hunger itch issue in the suburbs. It's almost that the hunger has a different face based upon the place in this country where it's located. The face of hunger in Appalachia is a different face. And has different way. You have to use different ways to see the hunger in Appalachia or in rural areas or in the urban areas or in the suburb areas. Talk to us about the face of hunger, what you see in the face of hunger in the suburbs of the United States.
Sure. You're not going to get folks because of pride, because of the culture that we live in, to admit to their neighbor that their refrigerator's empty.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to come knocking on the door, and in addition to nobody asking for a cup of sugar or a couple eggs anymore, oh, by the way, would you help me until the next paycheck?
Mm.
But they show up at the food pantries, at the churches, at the community-based organizations to get some groceries that tide them through to the end of the month.
I've even heard tell, Max, of food banks operating differently in the suburbs than they do in, say, in an urban or rural area, where they will a food bank will bring to a home in the suburbs their groceries in a brown paper bag, so that it to disguise the proof or the evidence and unmarked vehicles, if you will, to disguise the evidence that that their children are hungry.
I have heard similar stories. I haven't seen that personally, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised.
Why is that? Why is that in America that people go to such lengths to mask this?
Our whole dream is to make it. It's to make it, to have the house, to have the car, to have the job, to have everything so that you can take care of yourself. And when that dream, as it's presented on television, as we hear it in stories, isn't yours, and you're so far away from it, how much does that hurt to say, I failed? And unfortunately, it's not reinforced well. We are a very generous country, and people respond when they understand the need. And I think that Katrina, again, for all of its horror, the good side is, you know, you had people in Montana saying, we have space in our village. We'll host whomever can come. You had families in, you know, places that had never, ever been to New Orleans saying, we want to help. But if you don't know and you choose to remain ignorant, and I again want to thank you for calling attention to this, it's hard to see.
Okay, I understand why a family in Missoula, Montana wouldn't necessarily have an understanding of the extent of hunger in this country. I understand why a family in Xenia, Ohio would not necessarily know what's going on in the Appalachians or the suburbs of St. Louis, Missouri, with regard to hunger. Our government doesn't have that excuse. They have the numbers. They have the statistics. What is the governmental response to the issue of hunger in our country?
The government, fortunately, has come to recognize this over the decades, and every year the U.S. Department of Agriculture puts out statistics on what's happening in our country, and I'm sorry to report that you're right. The numbers that are available to members of Congress, to our decision makers, show that hunger, again, in the U.S. context, has gone up each year for the last 5 years.
And how do we measure that? Well, what's used to measure that, Max?
The technical measurement is something called food insecurity, which is a little different than hunger, but that means you don't have access to adequate nutrition all the time. And you get at that by the Census Bureau asks a couple questions. Did you have to skip a meal sometime last month? Did you cut back on your portion so that your kids could eat more did you have to frequent a food pantry or something like that sometime last month? Those are the questions that get at the number of were you hungry, or, again, using the technical term, were you food insecure? And you're right, that number is available. There are groups like the Alliance to End Hunger and Bread for the World and America's Second Harvest that tries to get our decision makers to focus on the fact that this is a real problem. You had asked, what's the government doing about it? The great thing is we have programs that work. We have the food stamp program that is the front line of defense against hunger. We're talking about frontline defense against terrorism and all these other things. We have it, and it works, and it's doing a lot better. It used to be there was a whole lot of questions about, well, is it getting to the people who really need it? What about waste and fraud and stuff? Now, in 2006, it's the lowest error rate in decades, and we can really ensure that the people who need it are getting it. And then we have the programs in school for kids, the school lunch program and the school breakfast program. If more kids just took advantage of the school breakfast program, we would go a long way in making sure that we had less hungry among our children.
In terms of the food stamp program,
mm-hmm.
Okay, they've worked on waste and the food stamp program unlike any other place in government, it seems. It seems like, you know, waste is perfectly acceptable in any other phase or part of government besides the food stamp program. And I have my theories on why there was such a effort to work on it with the food stamp program. But given the fact that the program is as effective as you say, yet and still we find that the food stamp program is at risk for being slashed.
That's exactly.
Talk to us about that, and talk to us about where we are right now, because I know that the senator from the state of Missouri, Jim Talent, had prior to a few months ago had been very much a proponent of cutting the food stamp program. But election time has come around, and it's my understanding that he's voted against cutting the food stamp program. Talk to us about the slashing of the food stamp program despite its effectiveness and efficiency.
Well, before that, I wanted to say thank you, Liz, to you and to your listeners, because Senator Talent didn't just come to that position on his own. A few months ago, you had one of my friends and colleagues, David Beckman, on the program,
yes.
President of the Alliance to End Hunger and Bread for the World, and he talked a little about what was proposed then and said, would you please call your senator, Jim Talent, from the great state of Missouri, and let him know what you think. And not only did his staff get upset and give us a call because they had gotten so many phone calls, but Senator Talent came up to David Beckman, a Lutheran minister, at a hearing and talked with him about why he was not going to cut the food stamp program.
Outstanding.
And so I want to make sure that your listeners know that democracy might be wounded, but it still is working well, and you guys have demonstrated that, and we are very appreciative.
That's outstanding. That's very good news, and in a time where it seems like we hear so very little good things going on out here, that's wonderful news.
And that led to wonderful news for hungry folks. Last year, there was a big, big effort to cut a lot of different programs. Food stamps was one of them. And they still voted to cut a bunch of programs without raising the taxes back on wealthy millionaires, but food stamps was not cut a single dime.
Excellent.
That proposal is back on the table. The president has proposed to change some of the rules of food stamps that would cut off about 500,000 people. And
so what are the how would that work? Because it seems like I guess when you really acknowledge the fact that you are at war to protect very good things, you shouldn't be surprised that the folks keep coming back trying to, okay, you won that battle. They keep trying to come back to battle you again. What's the way that they're trying to get at food stamps without really saying that they're getting at food
right.
stamps?
It's a very technical thing that you're right. It's it's a way of getting at it without saying, oh, we're doing X.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're...
Well, they call that throwing the rock and hiding the hand.
You got it. They are proposing to change the, quote, categorical eligibility. So some folks who are also receiving welfare benefits, but not the cash payments, right now are eligible for food stamps. And they would end that. And that would affect about 500,000 people who currently get food stamps now but wouldn't be able to.
So give us the type of person that would be cut off under this technical way of cutting people off of food stamps.
Okay, so instead of having a minimum wage job, they get a couple bucks more an hour, but they're still struggling. So it might even be they're working two jobs, have a couple kids, might be a single mom, might be a married family.
Or a single dad.
Or a single dad is right, where they're trying to do everything, play by the rules, make it right. And they make a little too much money to qualify for the temporary assistance for needy families.
And Max, make it clear for how we're not talking about $50,000 a year.
No.
What's the cutoff number we're talking about?
For a family of four, we're talking $19,000 a year.
Jesus.
Exactly. If Jesus were back here, he would have something to say about that. And how can you make that work?
And how can you say that they should not have access, a family of four making that little of money, less than $90,000 a year? I don't know how people can live like that, let alone how can you feed your family?
Right.
And we have to take a break. We have to take a break. And I see you all on the line. I know that you all have questions and comments for Max Finberg, Director of Alliance to End Hunger. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back to take your questions, your comments, and to continue our discussion. Stay with us.
And it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can hear it if you try, and it's growing stronger with every day.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 70 at Adelaide, there's an overturned vehicle on the ramp with entrapment reported this hour. In both directions, 370 at Elm and 94, look for bridge maintenance operations. Left lane is closed. Northbound 55 from Caron to Ledge 44 looks good. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason, that traffic's easing. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way into the Blanchett Bridge looks good. Northbound 270 is stop and go on either side of 44. Westbound 270 from New Florissant to 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane on those exit approaches. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to 79, look for stop and go traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 5570 from Tudor onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow. Westbound 64 at 5570 split, congestion has been cleared. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing is on the move. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, look for that. Congestion has been cleared as well. Southbound Mid Rivers Mall between Sioux Mandy and Mexico, look for an accident. Right lane is blocked, and North 141 at Burgundy, and accident in front of the Parkway Junior High School South, that is. Right lane is closed. There's about a half mile backup. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. New from the Illinois Lottery, Veterans Cash, 100% of the proceeds support health care programs and disability programs for Illinois veterans. Play Veterans Cash today because when you play, everybody wins. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, mostly cloudy this morning, then clearing by this afternoon, high around 50. This evening, mostly clear, low in the upper 20s. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high around 50. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers, low around the upper 30s. And on Sunday, showers and thunderstorms to continue with a high around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 33 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 35. The wind chill out there makes it feel like it's 29, both under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. Take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
Why listen to Brand X Radio when you can listen to something brand new? Join the conversation by calling 314-454-0400. Or toll-free from outside the local calling area at 1-877-920-WGNU. For those of you who may be alphabetically challenged, that's 1-877-920-9468. Stop rushing around the radio dial. Leave it here and call in and talk on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920-WGNU.
Science or religion, Republican or Democrat, politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies. What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Also, the show, the Wake Up Call, is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. You can also go to my website to find additional information about the shows that we do. That's LizBrown.com, LizzBrown.com. Email me at revolution@LizBrown.com. And the local number is 314-454-0400. The long distance again, 1-877-920-WGNU. This morning we're talking about the issue of hunger in the United States, and we're talking to the director of Alliance to End Hunger, Max Finberg. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Max, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's get to some of our callers out here. Janice, do you have a question or comment for our guest, Max Finberg?
I have a question.
Sure.
I was trying to find out, if you're hearing information about food stamps, I was hoping your guest may have some information on the head of household being cut off of the medical benefit when they have TANF or family support.
Thanks for your question. Did you get that, Max?
I did. I am not as familiar with that, but trying to make sure that Janice does get what she needs. the couple programs that are out there that that can help folks with their medical benefits and health care. One is Medicare for folks who are elderly, and that's the one that's gotten real confusing but does have a prescription drug benefit. And then the other one is Medicaid, and those rules are so complicated as to who's eligible, how much they can earn, what other sources of income they have. But the reality is that Senator Talent's office has some folks there who can help sort through the maze for folk in need. So my hope, Janice, is that someone either in the senator's office or in your congressman's office would be able to help you as your representative, your senator, sort through all that you're entitled to.
And fortunately, strategically speaking, we're in the midst of an election cycle, so folks are far more attentive than they are, say, 1 year into a recent election. So this is a good time to call.
Exactly.
Well, let me get to another caller or two. Carol, do you have a question for our guest, Max Finberg?
Yes. I would like to get information on a recent case in I think it's North County, where the young woman received a raise. I think she was working at Dillard's. The state then discontinued her assistance. In the process, her baby died, and it is reported that the baby died of hunger. What can we do to ensure that this would not happen again? And is there anything that this young woman can do to assist her with her case? Thank you very much. I'll listen.
Wow.
I know. Wow, indeed. I did the math, Max, of what you said was the cutoff for a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about $1,500 a month before taxes.
Mm-hmm. The average food stamp household with kids had an income of $766
a month. $700
a month,
and that's with children.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is talk about, there's a plan afoot. There are efforts to cut those people off of receiving food stamps.
Some of them.
Some of them.
Not all, but yes, that's exactly right. So to Carol, my heart goes out to the woman who lost their child. I don't know the specifics of that case well enough to say why it happened or what the scenario is. The reality is food stamps provides an average, and this is just an average, of about 94 cents a meal.
Mm.
How can you eat on that?
Mm. You can't.
No.
You can't. Or you engage in horrible things like buying burgers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eating off of 27 cents burgers, and then the nutrition part of that is also problematic, because food stamps allow you to not only eat to survive, but they allow you to also to engage in behavior that provides the nutritional requirements for your family.
One of the other great programs that our government has is the Women, Infants, and Children program.
The WIC program.
Mm-hmm. And that is so good because it reaches moms at the right time and trying to help with their babies still before giving birth and then right afterwards with the most nutritious foods that they need then, and some education. Some understanding of what's important and why for the baby's development.
Let me get to one more question here before we have to take a break. William, you have a question for our guest, Max Finberg.
I have a comment.
Okay.
You mentioned the face of hunger in Missoula, Montana, wouldn't recognize it, you know, like it down someplace else. When you said Missoula, Montana, I said, oh, yes, they would. Missoula, Lewistown, Great Falls. That's the face of Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And hunger in those states among Native Americans, like in Montana, Wyoming, North and South Dakota, would kind of make the Delta look a little bit like Creve Coeur.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Are the hunger disparities that stark that they're such devastating, such huge gaps between, or gulfs between, hunger on a Native American reservation as opposed to in the Appalachian Mountains. Is it that much difference?
That difference isn't as stark, but William is right. The poorest of the poor in our country are our first folks here, the Native Americans. And I've been to one of the reservations in Montana that he was talking about with the Northern Cheyenne folks. They don't have grocery stores. They're so cut off that they rely on generosity of others. They rely on some of the government programs, but food stamps doesn't necessarily work if you can't use them at a grocery store. So it's bad in the Delta. It's bad in Appalachia. It's bad in some of our inner cities and even our suburbs. It's the worst of all on our Native American reservations.
You mentioned earlier in the hour, Max, that the number of hunger cases, the number of people that need food assistance has been growing over the past 5-6 years. Talk to us about the reason for that. Is there an explanation? What is happening that are making the people on the rolls of hunger needing food stamps grow?
Part of that answer is the jobs and what people are getting paid. So the numbers I have in front of me are folks who go to the food pantries, the food banks, the emergency food providers for assistance. And from 1997, when that number was 21 million, to just last year, when it was measured again, that was 25 million. Extra 4 million people who, in order to get something to eat, had to depend on the church-based pantries or those sort of things. That number is about the same with tracking with the food stamp program. People aren't making enough money to make ends meet. And if you got to pay the rent, you got to pay the utilities, if you got to pay for your prescription drugs, the thing that gets squeezed more often than not is the food you buy.
And I need you to hold the rest of that answer, please, because we have to take a break. I'm talking to Max Finberg. He is the director of Alliance to End Hunger. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back at you after we take this break. Stay with us.
This hour's 8:45 Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Friday in the 8:45 hour.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else?
Where else, where else, where else are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves? How about a treadmill? How about a lawnmower? How about a tractor? How about some tires? How about some tools?
Look, don't take out a bank loan just to get to the mall to get to your Sears. It's right here in your neighborhood at 3425 Union. That's right, Jerome Williams. He's the owner. Have you ever walked into Sears and known the owner before? Of course you haven't. That's why you need to go to Sears at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, I'm Liz Brown. When you get your shop on at Sears, you tell Jerome Williams I told you to.
Yesterday, these guys I know offered me some weed, and I smoked it. Then today, they said I should try to outrun Tick Tick, the lumberyard dog. I'm now pretty sure I can't. Good Tick Tick! I'm an idiot.
Live above the influence. Above them, above weed. and check out AboveTheInfluence.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Then, stay tuned for Dave Linehan.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pie's, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pie's, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Baby, please don't cry. You gotta keep your head up. Even when the road is hard, never give up. Baby, don't cry. You gotta keep your head up. Even when the road is hard, never give up. Baby, don't cry. Hope you got your head up. Even when the road is hard, never give up. Baby, don't cry. Hope you got your head up. Even when the road is hard, never give up. Baby, don't cry.
Get him, girl.
Get him, girl.
He ain't gonna never change. I ain't no hater, but that nigga lost in the game.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Max Finberg, director of Alliance to End Hunger. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Max, welcome back.
Thank you.
I want to talk about the difference between hunger and malnutrition. Are there different numbers when we talk about how many people are hungry as opposed to how many people, children, are malnourished?
There is a difference. I don't have those numbers exactly, but the reality is you can be overweight and be malnourished. And I think that the recognition, again, in our country is that hunger isn't quite the same as the stick-thin bodies of some of the kids we see in famine situations in Africa and Asia and elsewhere. Here in the United States, you can get enough food. You can get enough calories. Are you getting enough of the right nutrients? That's a different question, but still an important one.
Max, are people in the United States dying of hunger?
Fortunately, no. I mean, Carol just talked about the child in North County, and I don't know those details, but people aren't starving to death in the United States of America. You die from complications of other things. You might die from diabetes that was caused because you didn't have the right diet. You didn't get the nutritious food you needed. You might die from heart failure or something where if you had had the food you needed and the nutrition you needed, you would have been stronger and you would have been able to survive longer.
Do you think that that makes a difference, Max, that people have become so conditioned to the proof of hunger is a child with a distended belly, with skeletal arms, and flies buzzing about the child? Do you think because that people have become so used to seeing that as the evidence and the proof of hunger that they're numb or they don't accept that hunger takes other forms in the United States?
That is definitely a prospect. There's no question that if that's the only picture you have about hunger, then you're not going to see that here in the United States. But the hunger that comes from being poor, of not being able to get enough to eat, and again, the right things to eat, that's unfortunately alive and well here in our own country.
Let me get to some more callers here. Cheryl, do you have a question or a comment for our guest, Max Finberg?
I have a question. I was thinking about hunger as it relates to the construct of capitalism where their people have to be on the bottom. And I wanted to know what he thought about that and if really the only thing that we can do to affect hunger is the people of the United States helping those who are in that need.
Thank you, Cheryl.
In our system, where we have a market economy that works more or less, people need jobs that provide income so that they can buy the food. there's not a question of access to food. Some of the places I've been in Ethiopia or the Ivory Coast or Zimbabwe, there's no food to buy. So even if you had the money, it would be a different thing. But here in the United States, if you have money, you can buy the food. So the market works in distributing what we need to eat. The place where people fall through the cracks is when they don't have enough. And that's where these government programs that work so well come into place. That's where our charitable response through our churches and synagogues and community-based organizations work well. But it's still not working enough.
Max, do we see, and you talked about that the numbers of people needing food assistance has grown over the last 5 or 6 years. Are we seeing an additional face to the people that are visiting food pantries now? Is there a new face? Is there a different face? Is there a different type of person?
Not necessarily. Back when President Johnson had the war on poverty, the big focus was elderly who are poor and therefore are hungry as well. And among senior citizens, we did a good job of addressing the worst cases of poverty there with Meals on Wheels, with the Medicaid program. That's coming back more. And seniors on fixed incomes are having to make really tough choices between heating and eating, between the drugs that keep them alive and the food that keeps them alive.
So the drug really is the additional component.
You got it.
That people now have to spend more money on drugs than they ever had to do before, and food takes the hit.
So in addition to seniors, you'll get the sick and the disabled who are experiencing hunger more now than they used to. The working poor, children, they've been with us for a long time and unfortunately make up a large percentage of who is hungry.
How has the, or what has the impact of this rush to incarcerate, that we're now incarcerating so many more women, that we're keeping men in jail for so long periods for crimes that you didn't go to jail for that long for, mm-hmm. for having drugs? What kind of impact, or do you see an impact of the rush to incarcerate on the need for assistance and food stamps?
There's no question there's a huge link between single-headed households, again, male or female, and poverty and therefore hunger. You might have done the wrong thing. You might not be together with your partner. But if you're not able to provide something for your kids, there's no question they're going to be worse off. So you have 2 million people in the criminal justice system as African-American males. That has an impact on black kids everywhere. And I think that that's exactly right, is what is it that they could be doing if they weren't in prison?
In terms of the face of hunger, some people would make the argument that, or would hold the belief that the face of hunger is a face of a person of African descent. What is the face of hunger? I mean, how do we paint it?
Well, that would be mistaken, because 40% of the folks who show up at emergency food providers are white. They are the plurality, the most of any group are white. Now, African Americans account for double, almost triple, of the hungry population or the folks getting food than they do in the general population. So there's no question it's more than it should be. But again, as we heard from William, it could be a Native American face. Could be an Asian American face, could be Hispanic American, could be African American, but more often than not, it's a Caucasian American.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Ike, do you have a question or comment for our guest, Mike?
Yes, I do.
Max Finberg.
Sir, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a Vietnam veteran. I've been fighting for just what really is owed to me, and my brother died as a result of Vietnam. I mean, we were twin brothers when Agent Orange got him. I don't even know why we're talking about food stamps. I'm very bitter at this country. Why are our people starving? Katrina, them people are never going to have anything again. And we got a Congress here is them a bunch of thieves up there. The taxpayer, all these benefits, they pay for all that.
Okay,
it should
and
be no problem getting paid for this.
Ike, we got to roll because our music's coming up. Max, are the hungry people, do they include the ranks of our veterans?
They sure do. It's my heart. Goes out to Mike and the recognition that this is something that he who served our country and others like him shouldn't have to be grappling with. A couple of quick things. One, our government did do a decent job. The one bright spot in the response to Katrina was people who wanted and needed food stamps got them. Our FEMA didn't do a good job, still not doing a good job. But the Department of Agriculture bent over backwards to make sure that within 2 days they were there making sure folk had access to food stamps.
Excellent. And Max, where can people find you on the web?
AllianceToEndHunger.org. All together, nothing in between. AllianceToEndHunger.org. The other thing that your listeners can do, because they have proven how good they are at making this democracy of ours work, is Senator Talent sits on the Senate Agriculture Committee, and they are considering a bill called the Hunger Free Communities Act. Senator Talent hasn't co-sponsored that yet, but he sure could if he heard from enough folks.
Okay, we'll get on that, Max. Thank you so much. Max Finberg, Director of Alliance to End Hunger. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
Take care.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albany. President Bush gets a traditional send-off as he prepares to leave India, a celebration with dancing and drums, and it comes after a speech in New Delhi in which the president praised the strong relationship that the U.S. has forged with India.
Our two great democracies are now united by opportunities that can lift our people and by threats that can bring down all our progress.
And he says there is room for Pakistan in that relationship.
India is better off because America has a close relationship with Pakistan. And Pakistan is better off because America has a close relation with India.
But will he be safe in Pakistan?
President Bush won't just dart in and out of Pakistan. He's scheduled to spend an entire day on the ground in Islamabad. The place is likely to look like a ghost town. Security will be more intense than this city of 500,000 people has ever seen. Pakistani sources say the center of the city will be completely cordoned off.
ABC's Kate Snow. There's a ban on private cars today in Iraq. Police and soldiers trying to prevent new attacks. At least 19 people have been killed in the chaotic Iraqi capital since last night. There's a new Hurricane Katrina videotaped briefing. It shows even more confusion after the storm, hours after the storm. Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco telling FEMA Chief Michael Brown that the New Orleans levees are okay. Brown's response?
There's some great work going on down here in Louisiana. Governor Blanco, you've got a really good team, and I think they're just doing an excellent job.
In fact, the National Weather Service said a few hours before the briefing that the levees had been breached. The forecast today for eastern Oklahoma is hot and it's dry, which won't help crews who are battling a wildfire in some pretty rough terrain.
It's very rough. We have bluffs that are steep, and some places the dozers can't go off of them or get up.
That's Dale Thomas with the state's Department of Agriculture. The Dow is down 22 points. NASDAQ off 8 in early going. This is ABC News.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready for a real home-based business that can get you out of the rat race and into financial freedom? Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I bought my first property at 17 without a penny to my name, and since then I've made millions in real estate. I have engineered a proven system to real estate buying that will show you how to buy money-generating properties so you'll never have to work again. Let me show you how you can get started right now. With my techniques, you can learn the secrets for spotting deals that come along on average once a week and pick up plenty of homes that generate lots of cash and become rich, very rich. Call 1-800-500-3022 anytime, 24 hours a day, and I'll send you a free tape that explains how easy it is. Instead of just making a living, let me show you how to make real money. Call 1-800-500-3022 and get your life back. Again, that's 1-800-500-3022.
Tony Johnson thinks his grandson's teacher should be in jail. The Austin, Texas woman is accused of pouring liquid soap into the five-year-old's mouth to keep him quiet.
It's very rough.
And all down the front of the shirt had soap spots and stuff on it, so we assumed that quite a bit was pulled down his throat, and what didn't pull down his throat ran down on his shirt.
The teacher is on leave. A happy couple is a healthy one.
Researchers at the University of Utah say fighting with your spouse can do more than put you in a bad mood. It can harden your arteries. Professor Timothy Smith and his team studied 150 married couples in their early 60s and older.
What we actually measured was how they talk to each other when they're discussing a problem or an area that they've disagreed on in the past. Things like household duties, money.
The result? Increased levels of coronary artery calcification, a condition that can eventually lead to a heart attack.
That's ABC's Donna Renee. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, members of Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region say they will do whatever is necessary to halt proposed legislation to ban most abortions in Missouri. Allison Gee, a spokesperson for Planned Parenthood, says the legislation is not about women's health or safety or about reducing unintended pregnancies.
It does nothing for the health and safety of women in this state, and we will make sure that supporters of access to reproductive health services understand what's going on.
Gee says the bill will endanger women's health and says the only way to reduce the number of abortions is through pregnancy prevention. The legislation, filed this week by State Senator Jason Crowell, would ban all abortions in Missouri except where the mother's life is at risk. Starting later this month, it will be more convenient for St. Louis County residents to apply for a gun permit. St. Louis County Police Lieutenant Chris Stocker says right now, people can go to one of the seven precincts to turn in their application, but have to go to the central office to pick up that permit. Starting on March 20th, people will also be able to go to those precincts to pick up those permits. Stocker says people will still need to bring their identification and a non-refundable $10 application fee when they come in to apply for the permit. Finally this hour, as more and more baby boomers turn 60, finding ways to age successfully becomes more important. Dr. Margaret Mary Wilson, a SLU care geriatrician, says it's possible to age well through diet, exercise, and taking good care of yourself. She says aging well is not about looking younger, and that there are a whole host of issues that contribute to aging gracefully, including dealing with issues of memory loss and incontinence. SLU Care will host a seminar this Saturday on how to age gracefully. It begins at 9:30 Saturday morning at the School of Allied Health. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ultimate Fighting Championship 58. Order UFC 58 USA vs. Canada live this Saturday night. Rich Franklin defends his title. Call your pay-per-view provider or use your digital remote Saturday to order Ultimate Fighting Championship. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis. Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 70 at Adelaide, there's an overturned vehicle on the exit ramp in both directions. 370 at Elm and 94 bridge maintenance operations have left lane closed. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way into Blanchard Bridge looks good. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and 44, nothing to report. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170 look for normal traffic this hour. Southbound 55 at Holly Hills and Carondelet look for road construction. The two lanes are closed this hour. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed until midday for maintenance work. Northbound 55 from Gravoy to 44, look for road construction. Left lane is closed. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge and Lindbergh, look for right lane closed. Westbound 40 at 70, look for road maintenance operations having lane closures going on. And in the right lane in southbound 61 from Pittman to 70 is closed for construction work. Westbound 5570 from Tudor to the Poplar Street Bridge is returned back to normal. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Illinois Bank on in, nothing to report there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street on the Poplar Street Bridge, everything is on the move. West Florissant at Salisbury, look for an injury accident. Brown at Apache, look for an accident involving a vehicle into a house. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Veterans Cash, 100% of the proceeds support health care services and disability programs for veterans in Illinois. Play Illinois Veterans Cash today, because when you play, everybody wins. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming clearing by the later today with a high in the mid-50s. Currently, this evening, look forward to mostly clear skies with a low in the upper 20s. Saturday, partly cloudy, high around 50. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain. The low should be in the upper 30s. And Sunday, showers and thunderstorms are likely with a high around 50. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 34 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 35. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 30 outside. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. But up next, it's Healthy Futures with Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you hungry? You need to go to Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, 9481 West Florissant. Fried chicken wing, beef liver, baked chicken, pork chops, everything good that you want to eat. Sweetie Pies, 4270 Manchester, brand new location. Check them out. Makes you want to kiss your mama.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It's time
once again for Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides you with information on how to take better care of yourself and live a more healthy life. Remember, good health truly is in your own hands. And now, Healthy Futures with Liz Brown and our guest for this week.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Healthy Futures. I'm Liz Brown, and my guest, as always, on Fridays at this time, is Linda McKirkland, Program Director of Healthy Futures. Linda, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing great.
Very good. So, let's begin as we always do.
We always like to just, first of all, thank the listening audience for joining us, just taking a brief moment on Fridays to kind of hang in here with us and as we continue to share information about health and wellness. And I'd like to thank Support of Child International and Eternity Deli for allowing us to do this segment on the Liz Brown Show. And just thank you, Liz, for having us every week.
It's a pleasure and an honor.
And basically, again, we're here just to encourage the community to make healthier food choices and to also just know that you have the power and the control to take health into your own hands.
Very good. So what's our topic today?
Our topic today is going to be an unusual lead-in to some futuristic topics. We're going to be talking about the faith-based role in health and wellness, or in simplistic terms, what is the role of the church as we see it in helping our people come to a better understanding of health and wellness. You know, what is that role? But first I'd like to just go back historically for a minute and talk about our historical diet, especially as African American people. Number one, we were given a diet during slavery that was maybe not the best diet that could have been given to us. But when we were given all of the things that we were eating at that time, we were very active people because we had to work from sun up to sundown.
Well, we were enslaved. I don't know what was work, but we were in the field.
We were in the field. All right. We were in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
So from sun up to sundown. So whatever we ate, mm-hmm. be it lard, be it pig feet, pig tails, whatever the scraps that were given to us,
mm-hmm.
we were able to work some of that stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
So then we didn't have the diseases and die from the kind of things that we die from now on a consistent basis.
And we also, don't we have to add in here, Miss Linda, that the pig that was folks were eating in 1800s, 1900s, is much different than
today. It's much different than what we were eating today. And so even though we were eating meat, it was a much different caliber
mm-hmm.
of natural,
a healthier meat, if you will.
Healthier, if that's a misnomer,
yes,
that is
yes.
one.
Mm-hmm.
To be eating like that, but having the wherewithal at that time, because you had to walk long distances.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have cars.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the amenities that we have now that shortchange us in terms of keeping our bodies active and moving so the body can process and do what it does best with foods. So that's our historical background. And then we took that concept of ourselves and we began to call that food soul food.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really understand what soul food, because soul, when you look at soul, it has something to do with the aspect of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so food is supposed to nurture the who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always about pleasure. It's about what the body needs to sustain itself, even down to the cellular levels, because the cells are supposed to regenerate and multiply. And so then, therefore, we have consistent healing. So we've taken this idea of soul food, and even today in 2006, we still remain with the same diet. However, the atmosphere by which we're eating it in, the context, has changed. Because we're not as physically active. The foods that we have are significantly different than the foods we ate 100 years ago. And so many different things are added to the foods. And we're bringing this message repetitiously because we really want people to understand the whole aspect of it. So now, Liz, the way we eat and how we eat has become cultural. It's cultural. So if you say, okay, collard greens, that's what African Americans like.
Mm-hmm.
Predominantly, that's in our
mm-hmm.
diet.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't necessarily have to cook collard greens the way we did 10, 20 years ago, and that there's another method, mm-hmm. and it still can be just as tasty.
Mm-hmm. And when going back to what the point that you made, Linda, about food, food is pleasure. There is pleasure associated with the eating of food, because it's not just putting food in your mouth. It's also the communion, and it's the fellowship and all mm-hmm. of that. But also there has to be a way of rethinking food into including within that decision of what food we put into our body, of what does my body need, not mm-hmm. what my mind wants,
right.
not what my you know, community spirit wants. I want to sit down and have that peach cobbler because that brings back warm and fuzzy memories
right.
of sitting down with my grandma and aunts and uncles and fathers and brothers. But we also have to think, am I fulfilling my responsibility to the needs of my body when I put
right.
food into it?
That's true. And those are the things that we have to consider. And I give a good example. I'm told that lard is still being sold in supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, lard was used for cooking, but it was also used for pressing hair.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, we were able to eat like that, but work off some of the stuff so it didn't remain in the body. So we're still eating and using the same kind of food products, and it's having a far more detrimental impact on who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So those decisions that we've made historically and culturally have to change.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make a decision, because either we decide, Liz, we're going to make choices based on somewhere in those choices is based on what is good for the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you want to consider taste.
Mm-hmm.
You want to consider all of the different aspects of eating and being a social being.
Mm-hmm.
But the decision has to be weighed at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to eat this versus this? Am I going to drink water versus getting a soft drink? Those kind of questions that we've got to ask ourselves. However, in the Western world that we live in, researchers have deemed the American diet, they call it, it's an acronym, SAD, S-A-D, and it stands for the Standard American Diet. And basically, the Standard American Diet is basically a meat-based diet, and it does not incorporate adequate amounts of fruits and vegetables and grains. And when you go to do the research for yourself, you'll see that the researchers are now saying that everywhere that diet is present, there are certain diseases inherent with it. You can take any culture of color where that diet is not present, and you will not see diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, cancer, strokes. And so we as a community, we have got to make the connection between what we eat, how we eat, and disease, health, and wellness, because there's an intricate connection between the two.
Absolutely. And then going back to underscoring the point of there has to be a factoring in of what we eat, that am I fulfilling the needs and the requirements of my body?
Right.
Now, that SAD standard, the standard American diet that was built upon a food pyramid that has been pumped into the heads and the hearts and the minds of every American child out
Absolutely.
Here, that meat, you have to have meat. You
Absolutely.
Can't. We have been told that you have to have meat or you die.
Right.
True. That you, if you're not
That's
eating
true.
Meat, that you're going to get sick and die.
That's true.
If you're not, and that's not true.
No,
is not true. And you have to understand that your body needs a whole lot of things.
A whole lot more things.
In fact, there's a book out as we're talking about this connection between the churches and food. There's a book out called What Would Jesus Eat?
Mm.
And it's a book that talks about the same things that we're talking about in terms of the food that they were eating back then.
Right.
Are these plant meat was like a dessert.
Right.
You know, it was
a delicacy
and a
right.
dessert from the perspective of it was something that sometimes you had with the meal and
sometimes
you didn't. And it wasn't always a big thing because
right.
it's dessert. You don't eat a whole cake for dessert.
Right.
You eat a slice of cake. So
right.
meat was the dessert. And I think if people started thinking about meat
as a dessert as opposed to a main meal that would help create the kind of diet that you need, that your body is asking for. Meat is not what you decorate around. Meat is a dessert.
Right, right. And then, you know, connecting this all to the relationship of the church in our communities. We all view the church as a pillar of our communities, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
It's a staple.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere you go. It's on every block. It's on almost every corner. It's almost a cornerstone of especially the African-American community. And so that's a great, significant institution where a lot of people connect themselves to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has then to become a vehicle or a venue by which our people and their health and wellness is taken as a priority.
Well, and here's something for pastors to consider out there and for members of churches to consider. Your church can never be healthy if your members are not healthy.
They won't be.
You know, your members cannot provide the churches survive because of volunteers, because people
right.
are willing. Sister so-and-so is willing to be the usher, because brother so-and-so is willing to be the deacon. That's volunteer. You don't
right.
get paid for that. Your volunteers cannot give the kind of service that they need if they are not healthy. And so one of the responsibilities of a church, and it's just like a school. A school has growing of a child,
mm-hmm.
a school has a whole lot of responsibilities besides just teaching a child. A church has a lot of responsibilities towards its membership as well as
right.
as and the future of the church. You have to understand that there will be no church if your members
That's
are
true.
Sick and unhealthy and cannot contribute.
That's true.
So and so many of our members, I mean, go to some of these church meals. Go to some
yes.
of the things that people are eating and sister and brother so-and-so are bringing in to eat. There needs to be a rethinking
Absolutely.
Of this.
Absolutely. It has to be what we are calling a rejuvenation
mm-hmm.
of the whole aspect of health and wellness. And I like to at least put in context that, Liz, there are currently a significant amount of churches in the St. Louis community that are making
mm-hmm.
great, tremendous strides, because me, myself, having been a pastor's wife before,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand and know and have been there
mm-hmm.
and been a part of all of the dinners and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and have been at the table and have eaten it all, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I know the significance. And then now being on this side
mm-hmm.
of the fence, you know, understanding and looking at the people around me, looking at those big dinners that we used to serve, and then there should be a diet soda right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so understanding the gross realities and looking at the people around me and asking them to do the work they had to do, but most of them couldn't even climb stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, because the church is a significant institution in the African-American community, and not just the African-American community, but in communities at large, that it has to be one of the venues by which we come and say, okay, let's protect the future of our church. Let's protect the future of the institutions of the people, because the people themselves are the ones who build the institution.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who are the movers and the shakers of everything that has to be done. And so we have to be able to, you know, again, think and provide practical, everyday realities for them to learn how to make different healthy lifestyle choices.
Are you saying, Linda, that part of the pastoring to members of churches should also include the health component?
It has to be. I mean, all churches have a health ministry,
mm-hmm.
but I know that all of the health ministries are not necessarily always geared toward health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
It may have specific realities to it or specific
mm-hmm.
jobs or responsibilities. And I think a lot of churches now are expanding the roles
mm-hmm.
because I'm meeting a lot of churches and they are sending workers to be trained in nutrition workshops.
Well, let's talk about that, the new
okay.
role that some churches are embracing as their responsibility, because some of them have already gotten this message.
They've already gotten it. And
well, so what does that look like?
Well, first of all, it looks like this. You see the churches that we've been dealing with, and you have the buy-in of the leadership. That's
mm-hmm.
number one,
mm-hmm.
because we all know there's nothing you can do too much beyond the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been really connecting with pastors and leaderships who have themselves personally mm-hmm. are trying to make lifestyle changes. And then out of that and their understanding, they have then instituted programs within their church congregation where they're having people to come in and talk about diabetes. They're having people to come in and talk about being overweight. They're having medical screens. They're sending people out to workshops to be trained to do nutrition education. We have the Search Your Heart nutrition education component that we do with the adults. So they're trained via the American Heart Association, and then they take the curriculum back into the churches. So then you have trained church members who can then cater to the specific needs of their churches mm-hmm. because the needs in every church is are significantly different. And so you just have to know the heartbeat of your own church. And so we're seeing a lot more of that, Liz.
And one of the things that that I was thinking of as you were describing some of these new programs and new ways of doing within churches is so many of the issues that people have when they bring to the church that can be tracked back to, if you keep working back and keep working back, into the individual health of that church member. If you have a mother that can't afford her medicine, some of her medicine is as a result of decisions that she has made health-wise of what the kind of food is that she's going to put into her body. When you have a daughter that's worried about the mother or their father that can't tend to their needs, some of that oftentimes is tracked back to health issues.
Right.
You have a person that can't get a job, some of that can be tracked to
That's
health
true.
Issues. So it's all connected
it's
for
all
a
connected.
Church that it wouldn't be a waste of time or it wouldn't be a side issue because
right.
if everybody is healthy, if everybody is healthy and strong, then the issues that the church challenges spiritually, it's like you can't teach a hungry child because the child is sitting there fussing about being hungry and
right.
they're not hearing what's coming into their ears. Preaching to an unhealthy church is more challenging than it need be. You know, so your membership needs to be healthy enough to be able to move because churches aren't just, you're not supposed to just sit there and receive information. You're supposed to go out there and do
right.
certain things and
right.
live a certain way. So church members cannot move and be active as they need to be if they are not healthy. So it is a huge connection. It's an inescapable connection.
Right.
The actual physical health of your church members.
Right. And it's also a grave responsibility too, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as we're working with the different churches in the communities, we're seeing that, first of all, the church is the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's the support system that one can have that you may not get just in your isolated family.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're seeing churches making strides to bring health and wellness to their congregants, we're seeing that if there's a family where there's a husband and wife and children, and let's say if the husband is trying to make changes, but the wife isn't, and there's not the great support in that within that single family unit. But if you put that family within a church who's doing some major overall changes, that individual and those children who are trying will have the kind of support that they need.
Absolutely.
And again, that's the element of the church being such a great support group, especially when things are already being prepared for you. You just go.
Mm-hmm.
If the trainings are there, you make time to go to get understanding. If the meetings are there, and when you have meetings, you have trainings in the churches, make the meals more healthier. Everywhere I go, Liz, at these major workshops around the city and outside of the St. Louis area, the things that they are preparing at our workshops are different now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing all of the things that they're doing. If they're going to be doing meat, I went to one workshop in Atlanta. So they had, for the meat eaters, they had Mediterranean couscous and baked chicken.
Stop it.
Yes, they did. I mean, they had we had Mediterranean couscous with some beautiful roasted vegetables on top.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, but I'm just saying that even here locally, when I go, there are actually places now who are saying we're just not going to do that. We're going to make an attempt mm-hmm. to make sure that we're providing something healthy. So even if there are workshops that I go to and there are soft drinks, mm-hmm. but there's water and there's juice.
Right.
So and fruit mm-hmm. and bagels. Mm-hmm. So now I'm not seeing the donuts anymore.
And I think for a lot of us, think about it. Think about it. How often are you going to meetings nowadays where you're seeing a big old array of Danishes anymore?
You don't. You're not.
You're not seeing them as much. You're really not seeing them as much.
No.
And these are incremental steps.
Right.
They're baby steps.
Right.
But they're steps in the right direction.
Right. We always say inch by inch, but a cinch.
There you go.
You know, we've got to keep moving, and that's the same realities that
baked
we're seeing.
Baked chicken and Mediterranean couscous.
And listen, so most of the people at the table, I was sitting at the table with about 10 people.
Uh-huh.
So... Okay, so being a vegan, uh-huh. I recognize Mediterranean couscous.
Uh-huh.
So if you know anything about couscous, the regular couscous is like small grains.
Mm-hmm.
But Mediterranean couscous is like that little foam stuff you see in pillows.
Right.
And they really didn't know what
it was.
And so even on the table, the organization had, we are now serving healthy meals. They had like a little tag on each table.
Wow.
No, we're serving heart healthy meals.
There you go.
So a lot of things are happening like that. And I think even when we are practicing making these incremental changes within the church institution, we have to do the same
mm-hmm.
thing. We have to put heart healthy meals and allow people in that moment to give them another choice.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're still going to do what you normally do over here, give them another choice in your buffet.
There you go.
So there are some people who want to make that decision. But also with the church that we're seeing, Liz, we're seeing walking clubs in churches. We're seeing that even the structure of the churches are changing, because you're seeing churches that have gyms where people can, there's one church that we go to, they have like a little area upstairs, and it's all like the Y, it's a little walking trail.
Wow.
Where they have the upstairs offices, they use it as a walking trail,
mm-hmm.
and then they use the floor of the multipurpose room or the gym as their room for their services.
Very
and
good.
So they just modify every Sunday when they need to put down chairs to do the service,
mm-hmm.
and then they leave it the women's body. They have like an aerobics class, so you see those kind of things. You have churches who have bowling alleys in them. I mean, you have churches who are now realizing that the health and wellness of their congregants are something that's extremely important, and they're taking great strides to make membership. Now, I don't know whether they do that to draw people in for membership or what.
You know, that if people are walking out of a church physically healthy and spiritually addressed, you know, that's all good. That is absolutely all good. Now, there are some specific churches out here that are doing some specific things.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about some of these specific churches.
Absolutely. I know that Friendly Temple is doing some interesting things in making some strides in their churches. I know Christ Deliverance Ministries, Believers Temple Word Fellowship, Abundant Life, Faith Miracle. I mean, I can just call the roll, and I'm quite sure I don't even know about a lot of them, but I know that in terms of what I'm speaking about today, these are actual changes that I've seen within the church organizations and meeting people. And that's not really how I meet people, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
I meet people who are interested in making lifestyle choices and changes in their lives. But then in turn, they connect me back to their churches. And they're saying that, okay, Bishop Scott is doing this now. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's having these kind of programs. He's really concerned about our health and wellness. And then when you go in and then you actually, what we normally do is just actually take food samples in with us so people can see. You can still have collard. I can bring you a collard green cornbread meal.
Yes, you can.
I mean, a sweet potato pie,
yes,
a macaroni.
Can.
I mean, I can bring you all of that
mm-hmm.
in a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And when we allow people the choice to see that kind of reality, then it makes it more real for them. Because other than that, Liz, we're just bringing in information, but we're not bringing in, okay, show me what you're talking about.
But also, there's a mindset that's out there, Linda. There's a mindset of people hunker down, do the bunker mentality about what they eat.
Because, you know, you're not going to take away from me the one thing that I truly have control over is what I eat and how I cook. So, and I'm not mad at anybody for that. I understand that, that it is a very, it's a very personal thing. So what has to be done to expose people to that there are other possibilities out there is that you have to bring it to people and let them taste it. I have had friends over at my house that some of them I've told that they've been, that they're not eating meat. Some of them that I tell that you're not. I made a dish the other day that was just amazing, and it was nothing but wheat, angel hair, pasta, and vegetables in it, and some olive oil in it, and some spices in it. And my friends thought it was just a magical, amazing thing, and everybody was full, everybody was satisfied, and all of it, from the wheat, angel hair, pasta, to the vegetable, it was all good for you.
It was all good.
It was all good for you.
And I think that's a good example, and that's what, you know, we can do, or have little different eat-to-meat groups within the churches.
Yes.
But then that's your time to try something new and different that you have not tried before.
Absolutely.
We're going to do a special segment on just dining out. You know, again, looking at what should our meals look like.
Well, let's go to the overview of upcoming shows. And Linda, if some church wants to get in contact with you, because you could help them put together programs, you could bring in things for them to try, you could help with planning that. Where could a church that wants to make this change get in contact with you?
They can always call me at Support a Child, and that number is 314-454-9830. Again, that's Support a Child, 314-454-9830.
And your name is Linda McClurkin.
Linda McClurkin.
So they should ask to speak to you. So, okay, we've got the church done. Let's talk about upcoming shows. What do we have?
In upcoming shows, we're going to spend some more in-depth time, Liz, on men's health. Men's health is something that's coming to the forefront. I think different things happen at different points in time in life. And I think that putting emphasis back on our males again has to be significant. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking about a lot of their health issues now. We're going to be talking about, again, I got to get the culinary herbs, the healing effect of the herbs that we use every day that we cook with, that we don't have a clue, you know, what kinds of things that they do for and to our bodies.
And I think that also the component of the herbal show, the culinary herbs, and our diet is a lot of the tastes that come to us from ways that are not as good for our bodies, given the lifestyles that we have today, can be replicated with our choices of herbs and spices.
Absolutely.
We can do so much. I'm telling you, I have been just chowing down on that eggless tofu salad since we had the show.
Right.
It is, and the taste of it, I made it the other day and I forgot to put the Old Bay in it. And the spices make the difference.
Right.
You can't do that without putting the Old Bay spice in it.
Right.
You can't do it.
Right.
So it does. So the culinary herb show is going to be a very important show.
Right, because that's going to be a show where you actually you yourself taste the herbs so you know what flavor it kicks, and then you learn combination of herbs, and then all that you do, you're still doing something healthy for your body.
Because culinary means to cook.
To cook.
Okay, and herbs. So
yes.
Culinary herbs, these are herbs that we cook and with.
Right.
All right.
And then we're also going to be talking about chiropractic medicine. We've got to get to that. And also we're going to be doing a segment on caffeine, which is a big thing still.
Big thing. And I don't think that people recognize or realize in the course of their busy days of how much caffeine they put in their body.
Still.
And then the other piece of it is a shocking piece for me, is how much caffeine's get in your babies that you are unaware of.
Right.
And how negative of an impact a lot of caffeine has on children. And I mean, I think back when I was a child, you would have been hotlined if there was such a thing as hotlining, folks, that you would have been hotlined if you gave your baby a cup of coffee before they went to work. I mean, before they went to school.
We do that.
And people are drinking caffeine or coffee-flavored drinks, you know, for breakfast.
That's true.
And they're drinking all kinds of caffeinated stuff. So you're giving your baby a cup of coffee before he goes to school.
That's
and
true.
More.
The children tell me that. Mm. But I need to share one story real quickly. We were at a school, Gibson Elementary, yesterday. So the children made homemade applesauce. Mm. We actually take them through a recipe. Liz, it was so phenomenal because one little boy left the group and the phone was sitting near us. He called his mother and he told her, he said, he ran down the list. You got to get me apples. You got to get me this. You got to get me this because I got to make this.
Okay. Okay.
And it was the most phenomenal. And
he called his mama during class.
He called his mom during class.
Wow.
He just stepped away from the table because we were in like the little lounge.
This is good stuff. I need to put her on board because I don't have a driver's license.
Right.
I don't have a car.
Right.
I don't have any money. So
right.
She's the one in control of that. So she need to get this.
And then, but he recognized. See, I do have some influence
there
over
go.
That.
There
see, that's
go.
How we get. We, that's how
go.
We miss the children because
go.
We don't think that they know. But he was on the phone.
On the phone
with his mother. I just stood there. I said, you know, when that happens in the classes that we teach, it lets me know that I'm doing what I'm supposed
yes,
to do.
Yes, you are. Yes,
and
you
so
are.
So I really
that's
I really thank
wonderful.
You for that.
So we're gonna do men's health, culinary herbs, chiropractic, caffeine, and our final upcoming show type of show we're gonna be doing is
dining out.
Dining out.
What does that look like
mm-hmm.
for us?
Mm-hmm. What are the choices that we
what,
can
what
make?
What are the choices? What mm-hmm. what are establishments doing to draw people who are healthy eaters to them?
And we can't forget if you're going to make some dining out choices, if you want to make some engage in some really good things for you, you need to get to Eternity Deli. That's 11 South Euclid. The number there is 454-1851. 454-1851. They can walk you through the process of it's all good. There are healthy alternatives that are so wonderful,
absolutely.
So good tasting, and so easy. So Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid, 454-1851. You need to check them out. And at Eternity Deli, we also have, don't we have a men's health?
The Men's Health Coalition that meets once a week. You can always call the deli at 314-454-1851 and talk to Troy Buchanan.
Troy Buchanan. Mm-hmm. And what is our health tip of the week?
Our health tip for the week is I will take an active role in the health of my church.
I love that. Health of my church. Mm-hmm. I will take an active role in the health of my church. And if people want to call you to talk about getting their church towards this healthy life, what number would they call?
They can always call me, Linda McClurkland, at Support a Child at 314-454-9830. Again, that's a Support a Child, Linda McClurkland, 314-454-9830.
And you wanted to remind us of the sponsorship?
Again, we'd like to thank Support a Child International and Eternity Deli for allowing us to bring this segment to Liz Brown's show every Friday. And thank you so much, Liz, for having us.
Have a great weekend. And I will be back, folks. We have to take a break. We have to take a break, but we'll be back. Stay with me.
But she doesn't hear a word that he says. Preoccupied, she's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't know what to say. So he prays.
Listening to the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on AM 920 WGNU.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Friday in the 9:45 segment of the show right here on AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right. You're talking about refrigerators, stoves, washers, dryers, treadmills, talking about tractors. We're talking about tools. We're talking about a full service, everything that you possibly need in a Sears. Where? Right in the city of St. Louis, 3425 Union. That's right. The owner's name is Jerome Williams. You get to go into the Sears, and you get to be treated like a king. You get to be treated like a queen. You have the best customer service in town. Get your shop on. I'm Liz Brown. Check out Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. And when you go, tell them I told you to.
After saving the world,
A super family like The Incredibles needs a super vacation. And Disney on Ice has it with their new show. Disney presents Pixar's The Incredibles in a Magic Kingdom adventure. Join Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, Violet, Dash, and Jack-Jack as they meet Mickey and Minnie and enjoy the Magic Kingdom's most popular attractions brought to life on ice for the very first time. See them rocket through Space Mountain. Brave the ghostly thrills of the Haunted Mansion. Whirl around the Mad Tea Party. And when Syndrome shows up to spoil the fun, the Incredibles blast into action. And every child at the show gets a free Incredivan to help save the day. Come share this Disney on Ice adventure with your super family.
Playing March 15th through the 19th at Savas Center. Get your tickets today at all Ticketmaster outlets or online at DisneyOnIce.com.
Hey, WGN listeners, this is Keith Gray from Higher Ground. You can hear me from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I look forward to talking to you folks.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in. Just a little touch of star quality. And if that's the right, go too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you. And if I see those moments rest, give your love a love story best. Real eyes of town and silence.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I have a couple of announcements here. I have an announcement for this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at the Muhammad Mosque, number 28. That's 1408 North Kings Highway. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live via webcast. He's going to be talking about this incredible statement. You need to check this out of what he said on the State of the Black Union. You saw it on C-SPAN last Saturday. You need to come. You need to be blessed with a conscience and a spirit-filled message. Muhammad Mosque, number 28, presents the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live via webcast. Savior's Day, Part 2. That's this Sunday, 9:30. It's free. At 1408 North Kings Highway. For more information, call 367-9667. That's 367-9667. I'm Liz Brown. There is just so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me in these last few minutes of the hour of the week, at the end of the week here. My number is 454-0400. I know that we normally do our Because We Care giveaway. Finally figured out what it is that we're going to do. We finally are putting together this really cool way to get all of you an opportunity to participate in it. We finalized it. It is ready for delivery. It will start next week. So pay attention for next week. We're going to get the Because We Care package program started for you so that we will be able to give away our packages once again at this time on Fridays. But we'll be able to give it to a whole lot more, give them to a whole lot more people. So stay tuned for that. My number here is 454-0400. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I want to remind you of, to me, one of the top stories that we did this week. came out of the top local story that we did this week, came out of the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. And this is a reason why people really need to be connected to the election that is coming up in April, the school board election that's coming up in April. The school board election in April is so important because there is a secret plan. A plan where pen has been put to paper, it is written, it is ready to be delivered, but the school board is going Cheney on us. They're going Cheney. They're refusing to release this part of the strategic plan, the strategic assault, the precision assault on our public schools. We're refusing to release this part of the precision assault on our schools. And here's what it is. The plan is to create an entire charter school district, a district that would suck the life's blood, the remaining life's blood out of the St. Louis Public Schools. It would have its own school board that none of us would elect. These school board members would not be accountable to any of us. They would take our money, run a separate and unequal school district in the city of St. Louis. They could come next year. If this board is reelected, they could come next year, close down Metro High School, call it a charter school, and make it part of this charter school district. What does that mean? It means that the Sunshine Act does not apply. We couldn't find out how our money is being spent. They could have secret rules saying that we're only going to let certain students whose families make a certain amount of money go to these schools. Certain students that live in a certain part of town can only go to these schools. Certain students that live on a certain street are the only ones that can go to this school. They could have a rule saying that you have to be 5'8" and go to the school, and it would be legal because it would be a private school using public funds. They could do that. They would not have to. And so when they suck the money out of the public schools to run this separate charter school district, they're not talking about a school, they're talking about a district. This is the story of the week, the local story of the week, out of the wake-up call. If they create this separate school district, what does that mean? That there will be no money for our special needs children. There will be no money for books for our other children. There will be no interest in making the St. Louis Public Schools a district that works and educates our children, because all of the efforts, all of the interests, all of the concerns, all of the monies would go into this separate and unequal school district, charter school district, created by a man who makes $25,000 a month as a superintendent, and who has never been a superintendent. Nobody else in the world has ever hired this man as a superintendent. Nobody in the world ever has hired this man. He is using our children, Craig Williams is using our children and our district as a petri dish to engage in Frankenstein experiments. And this charter school district is another petri dish Frankenstein experiment on the babies in the city of St. Louis. And that's why it is so critical that the Darnetta Klingsdale, Frankenstein's assistant, Igor, if you will, and Jim Buford Slay, Igor II, if you will, are helping Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, experiment upon our babies. How'd that Frankenstein experiment turn out for the villagers? How'd that turn out? Don't let Craig Williams and his assistant, his Igors, Darnetta Klingsdale Shamel and Jim Buford Slay, don't let them experiment on our babies, because no good can come of it. That was our breaking local story of the week here on the Wake Up Call. These are amazing times that we are living in, and you must have a heads up for that. And don't forget that there is a school board candidates forum. Ask Jim Buford how it feels to be Igor in this experiment. Ask Darnetta how she feels to be Igor in this experiment. Oh, they're going to say that no, it doesn't exist. Oh, no, that's the first line that they do. There's going to be a forum Saturday at 10 o'clock at the church right there on the circle. It's the orchard. It's in Riverview Circle right next to Nance School. The church right behind Nance School. At 10 o'clock on Saturday. Check out these people that want to be school board members and ask them some questions. Tell you what, tell them. Ask them if they will give their word that they will step off of, that if they are reelected, see if they will commit to you that they will step off of the school board if that deal comes before the board of a charter school district. And that they vote for it. I guarantee you they won't give you their word that they'll step off the board. I guarantee you. I guarantee you they won't give you their word. That's because they know. That's because they know it's coming down. 454-0400 is my phone number, but that's not necessary right now because we're ending the show. I do want to give a shout out to the babies in Metro, boys team and girls team. Did I tell you that boys and girls team are in the finals for district? How cool is that? How cool is that? And Coach Brown is taking the boys at 8 o'clock tonight at the South Technical High School to play in the finals, the first time in the history of Metro. How cool is that, Coach Brown? Go ahead on. Ryan Brown, Jeremy Reichen, Travion Ambush, Sharon Woods, Andrew Detchen, Daryl Wells, Marcus Howard, Anthony Arnold, Aaron Jones, Joshua Johnson, and Jordan Lovelace. Good luck. Good luck. And Metro rocks. I'm Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place on Monday. Until then, stay strong.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the brothers talking this way.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger.
I believe that a prosperous, democratic Pakistan will be a steadfast partner for America. A peaceful neighbor for India.
Some parting words from President Bush as he left India. Air Force One, we are told, has just arrived in Pakistan. He'll spend the day in that nation, and that could put the president in the same general area as the place the most wanted terrorist in the U.S. may be.
Many believe Osama bin Laden himself may be